Hello! Welcome to a special episode of The Horrible Show, where it's the end of the year. It's time for the 2012 Grimmies. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight, Josh Lee.
Hi there.
Ethan Moses.
Yeah!
And Aaron McNeil.
Goodbye, world.
World is ending as we do the most important thing we can think of before the end of the
this
world.
This is the last thing that you will watch before you die.
Unless you're Batman.
Unless you're Batman, yeah.
HorribleNight.com's Game of the Year Awards. And this is the first time we've actually done a live deliberation. Mm-hmm. We've got 32 categories to cover tonight. Are you ready?
Man, it feels like a year since we did it last.
I'm ready for 16 of those.
Well, yeah, 16. Yeah, so we're going to try to knock out as many as we can in this first swing, probably. And when we get to that midway point, we'll take a little bit of a break, come back, and knock out the rest, and then take a smaller break and come back and recap everything. Just so for those of you watching us live, we appreciate it, and you're in for a lot of fighting. Mm-hmm. As we're going to whittle down our nominees to three finalists per category and then pick a winner for each category. And
sounds right.
I think we should just get to this. First category of the evening is Best Brosif.
Ooh.
Brosif.
Category of my heart.
And the nominees are...
So, offline we got... offline, all of the HorribleNight.com writers contributed nominations to this, and we whittled it down to 10. This was actually one of our bigger categories. So, how I want to handle this is I'll go through the nominees, and we can state our case, and let's start marking off which ones we definitely want to cut, and then we'll go from there.
I think there'll be some obvious cuts here. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the pet from Torchlight 2.
Yeah, cut that one.
What? I'll cut you. I'll whittle you away.
You won't cut shit.
Strangers and Journey. The Sorceress and Orcs Must Die 2.
Overrated.
Metroplex from Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
That's the winner.
The Pawn from Dragon's Dogma. Mm-hmm. Nice People mm-hmm. and the DayZ. Jackie from Sleeping Dogs. Yosh. Some call him Yoshi from New Super Mario Bros. U.
I would have put Baby Yoshi in there, but that works too.
Big Bo from Binary Domain.
Oh, yeah.
Big Bo. And
she looks Garrus. Familiar.
Garrus from Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
So, which of those stood out as far as something you're willing to cut?
I mean, I only have a frame of reference for a few of them, but I mean, I may want to say your eyes light up anytime anyone mentions Garrus. So I feel like we'll just
push
that to the side.
And that that relationship went to new heights in Mass Effect 3. Mm. Like the scene in the Citadel, the little shoot off thing. Up on the little catwalk, that moment, that was the most...
That's the best, my mandate of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that could have been, like, that's the only thing, that kind of thing you would only do with your best friend or your dad, you know, like people, like those closest bros. Mm-hmm. Like, so that, to me, was like a defining moment in what ended up being one of the best bro relationships of my video game playing career.
Wow.
So that's got
to
stay.
Any objections to making him a finalist? Just
I was going
to
say,
no.
Should we continue talking about it?
What about Yoshi?
Yoshi's played out.
Was this an exceptional Yoshi experience?
You didn't keep him from level to level. Okay. Like, he stayed in the level. He left He left you behind. That's or you left him behind. That's one of the two.
Either way.
One of the two. And that is that sign of not best bros.
Yeah, you can
no.
Get him out. Get him out.
Aaron agrees.
Aaron,
I agree.
I think you're going to be our sleeping dogs representative for the evening. So talk to me about Jackie.
Jackie, he's in a gang, and he gets you into that gang as an undercover cop. He doesn't know, so you're kind of lying to your bro, but he stays with you the whole time. And he's on your side. He's got your back.
What happens when he finds out this is going to define the relationship?
We get into spoiler territory. I can say what happens, but...
Ooh, should we do that?
Can you just say how he reacts, like, and how he feels about it, like, when he finds out?
Happy or sad?
Just, yeah, and if it...
Does he have your back? Does he continue to have your back?
He never finds out.
Ooh, wow. Then that's not... How can you be best bros if you never open up to him?
We're never honest with him?
There's some deception there, but I don't know, man.
Well, that's a one-way street, you know?
What? Okay, let me ask you this.
Right there, deception.
If they weren't deceiving each other completely, would they be bros? Do they have enough common interests that they could hang out on a regular basis, maybe play some flag football?
Wait. If this was a romantic comedy, and your character was the guy who was like lying about who he was to get with the girl because it was a crazy sequence of events, and it was total, like, it wasn't his fault. Would he or she, Jackie, would she have stayed? Like, where was the guy? Was the main character often enough or honest enough?
We would have a sad montage of they're both upset, and then they would get back together, and the credits would roll, and you'd be like, "What?"
No, but I mean, in a realistic romantic comedy scenario.
In that scenario, probably not.
Oh,
what happens in the game?
Then it's a tough one to keep based on that criteria.
That was we really grilled him on that one. We'll come back to. He probably has a really... I need to play that game, because now I want to...
We'll come back to Jackie then. But as far as running across actual nice people in DayZ, are those moments worth it?
Did DayZ even come out this year?
Well, we started this because WarZ has been in flux, and so it was a WarZ
DayZ. I think we can
DayZ.
Say, even though we're a little bit iffy on WarZ, I think we can talk generally about having some friends, finding friends in that game, I think. I think that's okay. That felt good, but it wasn't consistent enough. You know what I mean? I almost feel like we can put that to the side. It felt really good. Okay. But, we can
still feels dirty. It's like finding love in Saigon or something. It just feels something about it. Feels
you know what? I was actually literally going to say exactly that.
Holy shit.
I was going to say Bangkok.
I think you and I should win this award.
Yeah, we probably should actually. Can we?
We'll let the fans vote on that next year.
Were we in a video game?
How about sticking with actual people? How about the strangers in Journey? Now, I had a magical moment this year with Journey, as far as I managed to play through that entire game with the same partner the entire time. The game centers around its mechanic of basically pulling in random people, and you can only communicate with the person by chirping or hitting your hey button, the one method of communication, and we never lost each other. We thought we lost each other at the end, and then the moment of I thought he had died and I was truly sad, and then coming up to the top of the mountain and realizing he was still right there with me. It's one of my favorite experiences of the year, and also just a really cool, as far as online co-op goes, it was one of the coolest experiences I've had.
I didn't play that game, but here's my question. Did you high-five at any point during this experience?
They don't have arms.
That's beside the point.
Five of anything works. You don't have to be fingers.
Chest bump. Really, like, really intense eye contact.
Five nipples.
Yeah, really intense eye contact. I'll give you intense eye contact.
You could chirp at each other and then use that chirp to jump higher, which is like...
Yeah, you boosted him. You could boost the jump.
Dude, boosting the bros, boost. I mean, a huge... Like, you know, like if you're trying to see over a fence and your bro gets up, you know, like gets up underneath you, man.
I'm not ready to cut the strangers.
I'm okay with this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds okay.
The pawns. They are kind of... I love the pawns.
It's a creative character thing, so it's a little bit weird.
Okay.
I understand that.
But just the general behavior of a pawn.
Yeah. And this one... Okay, so when you create the character yourself... It's so much easier to get attached to them. It's like picture when you're a kid, you named your characters in RPGs, right? Like in Final Fantasy and stuff. And then you, like, somehow that made them more personal, right? You actually make the guy with the same create a character tool that you would make your own player character. You made your primary pawn.
Create your best friend.
And Dragon's Dogma. So, you did, yeah. And this guy, but so he's with you the whole game, and he learns things, and he talks to you the whole time, and all that stuff, and that's great.
He's kind of dumb, though, right?
A little bit, but sometimes best friends are dumb. That's okay.
I was going to say, I'm pretty dumb, and I feel like I'm your guys' bro.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Great.
And we created him.
Yeah. That was a weird night, but yeah, I loved it.
But the coolest thing about this was your bro would go and hang out with other people, and he would always come back to you. and be stronger. He would always like appreciate your relationship more by telling you stuff. He would tell you all the secrets that he found out from all these other people.
I'm okay with
it. He's a gossipy bro.
Yeah, like he's like he's so tight with you.
Like, I don't know. Like,
have you seen Frank McDonald? I'm pretty sure you have. You were there when we made him, Mr. Dave's companion.
He seems more like an assistant that is like that adores you, but you're not really giving him anything back.
Like, well, I always accept him back. I don't. It's not like I reject him.
But you
know what?
Do you miss him?
Okay,
when he's
let's
gone?
Be honest here. Yeah, this is gonna sound fucked up.
He needs another pawn.
But the pawns are almost like dogs, because you can beat them, you can throw them off a cliff, they will always come back. See, and what is a dog? Man's best friend.
But if... I think there's a better candidate on our list, if that's the criteria.
I'm just saying.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Okay, too. That's fine, but that to me, there's more to this than meets the...
There's
the bro eye, I guess.
We'll get beneath the surface, don't you worry.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking is that we go beneath there.
How about the sorceress and Orcs Must Die too, Ethan?
I'm willing to slide this to the side because, you know, the bro relationship in that situation is heavily, heavily dependent on the other player, you know? So I'm okay. I'm willing to sacrifice that. I think
it's not a real connection to that.
No.
Okay.
And Aaron and I actually we had a good bro op session. But I don't know.
Your sorceress is sitting right here.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and I don't know if I could have that with just anybody else. Matt Hiddle and I had a good one, and then Aaron and I had a good one. But other than that, I don't know. It's too dependent.
Now the other one getting big votes from our staff is the pet from Torchlight 2.
Dude,
Loyalty right there.
I was going to say that thing, it fights. It just fights, and it keeps fighting, and it will fight until it's dead. And it'll go back to town. I mean, it does all kinds of things for you. You can name it. You can give it equipment. Come on. That thing is... I love that pet. Scuffles, my cat, I put it into that game, you know? That's love. I mean, you want to talk about connection when you name somebody after yourself? Name a cat in a game after your own cat.
I don't want to own a cat.
That's the first time I was listening to you there, because that made sense. That did make sense.
Would you have a Patrick?
Yeah.
Right. Pet is in consideration. How about Metroplex? How much of a bro is Metroplex?
Well, I know, and there you could easily get into spoiler territory here because there's some very key moments with Metroplex, but he was like the coolest NPC out of any game this year that wasn't like the same kind of character as, you know, like he wasn't humanoid or whatever, you know, like because of robots are, they're basically humanoids. I mean, he was, but he was like this, almost like a weapon, but he came when you needed him. There was his sense of like duty and self-sacrifice was amazing. He would just wade into shit, you know, like, this is what we got to do. And he was like, you know, we're going to save everybody. And it doesn't matter, you know, how that ends up. But he, like, in some key moments in that game, he shows up and it's uplifting. Real moving. And I just, all I could think was like, I don't think a single other Autobot here has the same loyalty that as this guy does. I mean, I don't think anyone cares about the well-being and the good of all.
But he's loyal to guy. Autobots and to Cybertron and good.
Yeah.
Is he a bro with Optimus? He's a bro with your...
Yeah, they're yeah, Autobot. he's got those scenes like because of their exchanges they have, like Optimus is like his commander in chief, but he's also like they respect each other to a point that you know, somebody is just a boss they're not gonna get that, you know. Like soldiers, like all soldiers are bros.
Mm-hmm.
Like just it's a bond, yeah. A permanent bond, and these guys have that. They really do.
Hmm.
I love Metroplex.
Sold.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Let's see. No, I think I'm gonna cry.
Last one on the list for consideration. This has got some votes as well from our staff. Big Bo from Binary Domain. He's probably larger than Binary Domain at this point, as far as the legend. But as far as his bro qualities, like, talk me through the story, talk me through how he actually works with your main character there.
He's the Danny Glover to Dan's Mel Gibson. They're that close. That's like one of the best bro, you know, duos.
All right,
probably ever. So,
isn't there a part where Bo asks you about checking out one of the female squad members, and you have to give a decision about whether or not you support that or not?
Right. Well, he says there's a line actually. Unbelievably, like before the show, before you came on, Aaron, I was showing these guys that clip from that game.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't remember her name, but she's the Chinese operative, and she rolls in, and she's like, you know, she's really attractive, and then both Dan and Bo go, whoa, and Bo's got the best oh shit eyes. He's like, oh shit, and he looks a lot like Doc and Carl Winslow, like Doc from Punch Out and Carl Winslow, like in the face, like the guys who modeled him were like they had pictures of for inspiration.
Like the guy from The Office?
And no.
Stanley.
Stanley from The Office.
No, he does not look like Stanley. He looks like Doc.
Yeah, but that's what Doc looks
and
like.
And Carl Winslow. No.
We should look at that. We'll look at the
Doc
tapes.
Doc came first.
We'll go to the tapes. We'll go to the tapes.
Yeah, okay. We'll review that. Tapes. But anyway, so yeah, there's a seat. And so she walks in and the guys are like, whoa. And then Bo says, she looks real familiar. Looks like an actress or something. And Dan goes, he's like, you know, the only movies you watch are porn movies, right? And they look at each other. And he goes, it's pretty funny. I mean, they're just like, it's super over the top. Some people, they'd be, you know, Nancy's, but they get offended by some of the exchanges between them because they're pretty chauvinistic sometimes and whatnot. But it's a video game and it's entertainment and you get over it and it's fun. And if you can just take it as that, it's like, those guys have some hilarious, hilarious exchanges. The dialogue in that game, just in general, is really funny. And Big Bo is the best. He's got your back. He's like, you're like equals. You're like, you know, he's a real peer, like a true bro, not like a mentor so much. He gets you through the tutorial, but you're on the same level always. And I really like that. He doesn't look at you like necessarily like you're a superhero, even though everyone else does.
So I'm pretty much at the point saying Garrus is a finalist, Big Bo is a finalist, and we have to find our third. And right now, Aaron, I think I'm going to toss out Jackie. Doesn't seem to be making as strong of a case, but can you make a final argument for him?
Nah, we'll have to cut him. I've heard better.
All right, so the final slot is now between the pet from Torchlight 2, Strangers in Journey, and Metroplex.
I think the Strangers in Journey is just such a unique experience that people have. Like the fact that you can feel that much love like for another human being through a video game with zero words, that's kind of special.
I wanted to add the dude to my friends list.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I wanted to do after the game.
But here's the thing. I think that there's a difference between meeting a new really good friend. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the stranger, but it is a stranger. A bro is someone who's been with you through thick and thin.
But we went through thick and thin, and now we're
eventually
bros.
But in the beginning, I'm talking about a bro that's been there and been with you seen things.
I didn't like Garrus at first.
I'm just saying.
I'm just like, you
got a lot of history with Garrus.
You have to meet your bro. Like, you have to become bros.
He has a point.
In these games,
we weren't bros before we met.
I think, I look at it different. I think that you are already bros with the bros you're going to be bros with. You just have to meet them. Some people you meet, you don't become bros, dude. You've been bros. Did I just bro your mind? I'm gonna argue for the pet because here's why I'm gonna argue for the pet. Because that thing doesn't stop fighting. It wades in, and you talked about Metroplex wading into battle. Well, that's a gigantic robot with all kinds of weapons. This is a cat, and at most a cougar. Okay. It just go or panther. It goes in and it fights. It does your shopping for you. It's there to comfort you. It can transform into other things just because that's what kind of bro it is.
So it's more like your girlfriend.
It's a bro, dude.
No, nothing.
No, because you shouldn't have any. Well,
I just heard the bullet list. And
yeah, that's where I guess the bullet. But I've got friends to go shopping for me.
Do we toss out? Do we toss out Metroplex at this
bullshit.
Point?
Or
I hate to put it that way. I don't want to toss him.
Wow.
Out.
And this is where we're getting real. Okay,
I don't want to toss
like Metroplex
now.
Had his.
Maybe you should have played that fucking game, so you wouldn't have bullshit opinions on this.
If I would have played the game, maybe I would have. But I didn't play the game, so whatever. I have a bullshit opinion.
You should make that argument every round.
Oh, I'm going to.
But are you are you comfortable?
I feel stronger about Metroplex than the fucking pets in Torchlight. But I think the Strangers in Journey, I do think that was just a like that seemed like a pretty cool experience that no other games did.
I love the pets and Torchlight, but I put them on the same level kind of as the pawns. Just like it's still like the back and forth.
I wouldn't put them that high.
You know what? Here's the thing though. Here's the thing.
Torchlight.
Let's be honest here.
They're errand boys.
We know who the winner is here. Because we've had these conversations. We know how you feel. How you feel. I feel how you feel about Garrus.
We're not there yet.
I've not even played him
yet. My damn show.
Well, I know, but you know what? Come on. We've only got 4 hours here, guys. Let's not beat around the bush. Who is the bro? Who's been there for 3 whole games? None of these other guys. I mean, how long was Journey? Let's be honest. I'm getting, I didn't even play the game. I don't even know who Garrus is.
There's only one person on this list I would give a hot handy.
Can we turn off his mic?
No, you shouldn't.
I'm not.
This is real. See that? Eyeballs.
All right. This is off for warring start. We picked the winner before picking in finalists.
We'll just put the finalists down, and then we'll come back to it, and if we feel the same way about him later, it'll take 2 seconds.
Just to read it back.
Do you still feel the same way you did before? Yes. Done.
Here we go.
We'll do that later.
But we got to pick the third one. This is...
Oh.
Yeah, we still have a third
fucking stranger. Get your stranger danger on. It's fine. Let's do it.
That's the thing. Somebody that starts out as a complete stranger and ends as a bro. I mean, Justin's experience was, telling. It's that is what a lot of people had.
I did just say that my mom and dad did a better job of teaching me right from wrong than your guys' parents, because I would never approach a stranger. I would never have an experience like that with them. In the middle of a desert, in a cloak, some stranger comes at you in a cloak, you just gotta, hey... Let's hang out this whole entire time and get really personal.
Are you comfortable with us promoting that behavior?
Yeah. I am. That's how
what do you think that happens between these characters? You know, Eiffel Tower camel in this desert. Like,
well, I don't. That would make more sense to me.
You're just comrades. You're just journey friends.
Don't bring that communist stuff into here. We're talking bros, right, buddy.
Best bros of the Grimmy goes to... Garrus from Mass Effect 3. Our finalists...
I called it.
Our finalists are Big Bo and the Strangers from Journey.
Yeah.
Next up. That was the first one, guys. Only 31 left. What do you say? Yeah. Best guns. This is the category
And guns with a Z.
Guns with a Z. So it's not just guns. It's the tools of the trade. Our favorite items and things to use in video games this year.
Chris Redfield. Best guns. Although I think they were a little bit better in Resident Evil 5.
A little bit, almost too much.
He's been drinking in 6.
I don't think that's yeah, I mean, a he's thing. Gonna, he's that's not a thing.
Too much, too many guns? It's a little bit intimidating.
No.
Makes you look the other way.
Here's the rundown. The cricket bat from Zombie U. The spike trap from Mark of the Ninja. Miss Moxie's bad touch from Borderlands 2. Bane from Borderlands 2. The Kusanagi, the sword from The Darkness 2. Recursive bow from Far Cry 3. Rope dart from Assassin's Creed 3. The tomahawk from Assassin's Creed 3. Crossbow from Dishonored. And the railgun from Halo 4. Best guns.
Yeah.
And most of those were weapons.
Guns.
Well,
any definites? Anything that jumps out?
Far Cry 3
bow.
Absolutely. Multi-purpose. Yeah. Yeah. It makes you feel good. That gun makes you feel good. Guns make you feel good. That bow made you feel
We'll come back
good.
To the bow. It sounds like that's got a pretty strong backing.
I killed men, bears, cassowaries.
Jeeps.
With
I
that.
Killed a Jeep with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A live,
I did too.
A live Jeep.
I actually killed a Jeep with that.
It was awesome.
Now, the Borderlands 2 weapons. We've got two of these. I feel like it'd be easy to knock one of these out.
I don't remember Bane. Which one was that?
I don't either.
Aaron?
No.
I don't know.
You don't...
I just don't remember it. I'm sure I had it. I just don't remember.
How about Miss Moxie's bad touch?
I used that for a long
shotgun?
Time. No, it's the submachine. It's the purple submachine gun. It's got, like, Moxie on the side, like the pin-up.
I didn't get that
part. You go and you put a bunch, like, $10,000 in a tip jar, and she gives you this submachine gun, and it's... really, really good. It's like a it's a corrosive one.
I got
it. It's got a really cool like.
I didn't get it. I put 10,000 in there.
Reload animation.
Aaron, did you run across Miss Moxie's gun?
Yeah, I tipped her all the way, got the gun, put it in the bank, and probably never used it.
All right.
You know, I would almost say, like, basically any gun in Borderlands 2 was really great, but I mean, not in that, because you got rid of guns so quickly in that game, you moved on. And I mean, you moved on too easily. And you moved on from both those weapons, eventually.
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually, sure, but, you know.
It doesn't have the impact.
Okay.
You know? I don't know.
The cricket bat, I loved its existence. It doesn't, like, actually, it's kind of an iconic, it's the iconic weapon of the game. But as far as its usefulness, it actually becomes kind of frustrating the further you get in the game. So I'd be willing to kind of toss that one out.
It's awesome, but, I got so tired of that, and I haven't even played that really that much of the game.
Not a good sign.
I mean, it's just, there's only one melee weapon. You start with it. You have it the whole game.
Yeah.
The Kusanagi sword. Basically, if you take a katana blade and you imbue it with the soul-sucking power of the darkness, this was part of the extra co-op missions in The Darkness 2. You played as basically different characters that had the darkness imbued in their weapon, and they did different stuff. The reason this stood out to me was I kind of didn't like the main campaign of The Darkness. I thought it was okay, but it kind of got repetitive, and it just runs into this point that the first one did, where you just get too powerful. But these co-op missions, you had weaknesses, but you also had this one strength. And the fact that I went from like guns blazing everything in the main campaign to doing pure just straight up melee the entire campaign and really enjoying playing as this guy, this ninja, basically sprinting around everywhere and stabbing dudes.
You stuck out their soul when you kill them with it.
Yeah. It was
just like Blade in the comic books.
Yeah.
So that's why I respect that.
It's pretty badass.
Because that's pretty cool.
Aaron, did you play Darkness 2?
I played Darkness 2 story, but okay. Never did get around to the co-op. But what you've described sounds something I would enjoy. I should probably play it. Yeah,
sounds delightful.
We'll keep that going for now. As the Assassin's Creed 3 recent hater, I will speak on these weapons. Tomahawk still excites me. The rope dart is awesome in execution, but you don't actually use it that much, so it gets docked some points for that. But
the Tomahawk's cool, and those, like, the animations with it are savage.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
awesome. So that was pretty cool. And when is the last time we had Tomahawk, like, as the main weapon in a game, too?
Yeah, so I'm gonna toss out rope dart for now, but we'll come back to Tomahawk. The crossbow from Dishonored?
I wouldn't have chosen that out of all the weapons in Dishonored, but... That's me.
What stands out to you?
Well, your like melee blade, because it was really satisfying. Those melee kills in that game were really, really satisfying. Taking off heads, stabbing throats, backs, stomachs, whatever. You were just cutting them up. I just didn't really use a crossbow that much because it was just kind of, it didn't feel as personal as the blade. So I didn't like it as much.
So like if you kill your girlfriend and you kill her with a crossbow, she's like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you didn't love me, did you?
Nope.
Pretty much that.
Originally, when I looked through this list, the railgun on Halo 4 stood out to me as the most, like, generic. So what about the railgun boosted up?
I liked it because it was... So all the Halo games, like any games like that, really, you're going to have those... where you're picking up weapons in a level, you always have, like, the big gun. You know, what's the big, you know, the BFG or the Redeemer, that kind of thing. And the Spartan Laser was that. But it's just so freaking slow, I can't kill things with it. I don't have the patience. And I end up missing, and I get pissed. The railgun hit really hard, but it fired way faster than the laser did. And there are so many times where, like, even in multiplayer, like, you guys would be, like, in a truck, like, you're ramping, thinking you're fucking cool, and the railgun, boom, and your shit would blow up. And it would, ooh, it was satisfying. Real satisfying. Stuff blows up pretty good in that game, in general, and the railgun does a pretty good job of facilitating that. So, I liked it. It was fun, but you're right, it's pretty generic. It's been done before.
Any arguments, Aaron? You're cheering a little bit.
No, I pretty much agree about the railgun. It's a pretty generic gun in general, but I got one in one of those ordnance drops in multiplayer and didn't know how to use it at first and just blasted this guy charging at me, and I was like, oh, damn, you know, this is this is amazing. But it's the gun itself is really nothing special. It's the effect it causes.
Dude, what kind of, like, situation are we in now that a railgun no longer excites us? Like, I mean, isn't that kind of...
I know.
Are we kind of, like, so disenchanted?
We're a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
When I hear railgun, I go Quake 2.
Yeah.
That's also how long it's been around.
Yeah, although, like, Quake 3 is better. But, you know.
The final item up for consideration, the spike trap from Mark of the Ninja. I'm a big fan of this. Aaron, you got any stories related to the spike trap?
I tried to make use of a lot of items in that game, but the spike trap was pretty funny just because most guards would never see this thing on the ground, and that impalement as you sat in a tree, you felt like a real sicko, but you're a ninja, so it's okay.
Like, I always used it in the, okay, I need to distract them, I need to actually kind of reveal myself, get their attention, but they're also screwed because they have no idea what they're about to walk into. They're like, hey, what's that guy over there? And then just walks and... It's just a really satisfying sound. It was a standout weapon for me in that game.
I didn't make it far enough to get to that.
It was a great tool for scaring people too.
I love to scare people.
Why don't we have any weapons on this list that cause like gigantic explosions? It's kind of weird.
Well, there is a railgun
that way. I always use that on.
Yeah, but it's the thing that it shoots. It's not anything can blow up. I could throw a tomahawk at a gas tank if I throw it fast enough. It might blow up. Like, that's got to be, faster than a man can throw it. But, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
we've got a lot of, like, finesse weapons.
There's no, like, little nuke launchers. And it's okay.
I think this is much more weird. Must be a much more personal year.
Yeah.
We like killing dudes very personally. So, we got it down to 5. This is, I'm going to go ahead and cut Bane just from the lack of acknowledgement from our crew here.
I don't remember that particular gun.
We'll keep Miss Moxie on there. It sounds like it stood out to a couple people.
Yeah, but if you're going to take Bane off, why would that one stay either?
Because it stood out in your memory.
It's still kind of... Well, yeah, but it's still just a gun, you know, in Borderlands. A game full of guns. It did have a cool pinup, like, photo or a painting thing of drawing of a Moxie.
I mean, I can stand behind that just because, unfortunately, my Borderlands 2 experience was my last loot experience, and the game didn't stick with me, so I have much more mellow opinion of the game, but I realize that's kind of tainting my perspective. So Aaron, do you want to fight for Miss Moxie or in general a gun from Borderlands 2 from this year?
I'm leaning more towards I would probably have a gun from Borderlands 2 in my final three, but it's really hard just to pick one gun since everyone's going to have different experiences and all guns, other than this one, kind of drop at different paces.
I mean, do you want to say the guns from Borderlands 2 as far as... do we still want to... We want to level that into consideration and possibly in the top three? Do we feel like as a whole, your experience with Borderlands 2, you look at and you get excited about the different guns? I mean, I feel like I had that for Borderlands 1, and I just couldn't...
Oh, the guns in 2 were so much better, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So much better. Borderlands 1, the guns were like, they were okay, but none of them ever excited me, and it actually kept me from finishing the game. Cause I just was kind of bored with the guns. They weren't exciting. There was variety, sure, but that's when, you know, I always thought like playing, a game like a Diablo or something. I thought like, man, why don't they just like go like super like all in on the weapons and make 100 different kinds of swords, you know, like instead of like 10 or whatever. So, but then with Borderlands, that's when I realized, you know what? I don't think that's enough. Like, you got to make them interesting too. And Borderlands 2, they did that. I mean, you know, you have machine guns shooting rockets, and you had, I mean, they had like the unique weapons as well. But they just had so many more like modifiers to the weapons and even the grenades. Like, that was really cool. I just thought that guns were always way... Just every gun was just more exciting than any gun from Borderlands 1.
So right now I'm looking at... It sounds like across the board, I'm taking you guys at your word here, the excitement level around Recursive Bow makes that a finalist. Are we cool with locking that in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron, you played Far Cry, right?
Yeah, I was playing some earlier, and I always have that bow on me.
Yep.
Oh, I never went without the bow.
Don't you dare even. Don't even play the game.
I love that bow.
I'm gonna get rid of the Kusanagi as far as just there. It does get knocked down because people have to really reach to discover it, and then it doesn't have that much effect on the core game. It's pretty cool, but I don't think it has the iconic value of some of these other weapons. And so that leaves us with, in general, guns from Borderlands 2. I'm okay with lumping that in just with that system works. The Spike Trap from Mark of the Ninja and the Tomahawk from Assassin's Creed 3. We need to pick two of those. My argument against the Tomahawk, as much as I fucking love that weapon, like, the game isn't as iconic to me, so the weapon will diminish over time in my memory. And I would vote for the Spike Trap over the Tomahawk.
What's the most fun to use? I think that should be the criteria, not what's the game, like, the best game.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I use that Tomahawk all the time. I had the rope dart. I had my hidden blades, which I used to be a huge fan of. But like every time I'm about to assassinate, I switch the Tomahawk and I fly out of the trees and I cut the shit out of that hair.
Had the best animations.
It was always hilarious to me. Like this big dramatic animation to kill a little rabbit. It just
gets me. I thought you were talking about scalping a human.
No. And man, and
cut the hair right off of him.
And then yeah, some of those kills, up. Just the brutality of it. I mean, that kept me going through the game. Let's be honest. Well, like without that,
and I haven't played Assassin's Creed 3 yet. But if I was going to have an iconic weapon, if I was known for having a weapon, I've always imagined it would be a tomahawk. In my heart of hearts, that's exactly what I thought.
Ever since I saw the Patriot, I agree.
Yep. I'm now swaying to drop the spike trap. Does that make sense to you, Mr. Ninja?
Yeah, I'd drop it. The Tomahawk, I wish I used more of it. I'm kind of stuck with the hidden blades, but that Tomahawk, the way you're describing killing rabbits with it.
I hate rabbits.
All right, we've got our finalists, Recursive Bow, Tomahawk, Miss Moxie's Bad Touch representing the guns of Borderlands 2. Does Recursive Bow take it?
For functionality, it has to, because you can just shoot normal bow. Be silent, stealthy, feel good, and it feels good shooting it because it takes a little bit of skill. You're not just aiming a gun and shooting. You have to time it well. Or suddenly you discover, hey, I can set these arrows on fire, and I can set people on fire and things on fire, and that's awesome. But then, right when you thought this bow can't get any better, it's got freaking explosive bolts, and then you feel that game was the closest Rambo experience I've had.
Yep.
But the explosive tip to that bow did it. That did it for me. It was like, wow, this is awesome. So this guy's running at me thinking, oh, he's got a bow. No, buddy. No. There's more to this bow.
When I was a kid, I had like little toy bow, you know? And I had with arrows, and I had little plastic hand grenades out of like the little army kits. And I taped the hand grenade to the arrow, and it didn't fly for shit.
Yeah.
But because I wanted to be like Rambo. And in this game, as long as you got grenades and arrows, you can combine them to make grenade arrows. And as soon as the game let me do that, I knew, like, this, I will not stop using the bow the whole game now.
And I don't think there was a single time that I got rid of the bow.
I was about to make a push for the Tomahawk, but
there is no way.
Okay.
It's only because you haven't had the satisfaction of killing everything. You kill dudes, you kill all the animals with it. It does, like, the most damage, too. And it's silent, and it takes skill to use it, and when you take something down with it, it feels good.
Right.
And shooting, like, guns, you know, that's always, like, a hit-or-miss thing when you're, like, you know, when does, like, shooting a gun at a dude in a game ever feel just perfect? You know, we always bitch about, like, guns not feeling weighty, and it did. But when you hit something with an arrow, you have so much confidence that thing is going to drop.
Yeah.
So much more confidence than any, like, projectile gun, like, you know, any of that,
that shit. When I did that little preview video, that was the most proud. That was the scene that I was most proud of, was that arrow scene, because it makes you feel sexy.
And then confirming, because all three of you have much more Borderlands 2 experiences. You're putting this over your standout gun in Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
All right. Recursive Bow takes it.
Yeah.
Recursive Bow takes it.
Yeah, for me, this was a no-brainer. I mean, everything else is so far below, even though they're awesome.
Yeah.
The best hype package is our next category.
Whoop.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the origin of the hype? We kind of the hype package sure, yeah. this year.
So we, especially Justin and I, I'm sure you guys probably feel the same way, but we sometimes have problems getting pumped for games after we've ridden the initial wave. Mm-hmm. So, like, we hear about something, it sounds great, and then you get that big-ass wait. Or sometimes the game's already come out, and you're like, well, gosh, I got these other games on my list to play first. So we talked about, it'd be awesome if we had, a hype package that was available at all times for a game. So you could see, cool trailers, you could hear someone talk about it that really loved it, see cool screens, read about it, something interesting. And then, because it would get you pumped for the game and you just play it. Games you have available to you already that you would enjoy if you just got into, but just that getting excited to actually fire it up mm-hmm. sometimes was tough. So, there are some games that just had trailers mm-hmm. or, whatever, some kind of marketing stuff that came along with it, or maybe something that a player created for the game that just got you so friggin' pumped about the game that, you're like, you were on the train. You were on the hype train. And you were ready to play it.
And I think the one that kicked it off for me this year, the one that epitomized it, and normally we don't give nods to HD remakes, but they did enough to this, and the trailer stood out enough that the Painkiller, Hell and Damnation trailers, they basically had two flavors of them. Just heavy metal and then more story-based, and it just... It got me pumped to play some Painkiller. But let me run through the rest here. We've got Borderlands 2. I think we're thinking of the Wub Wub trailer.
Oh, man, yeah.
Wub Wub.
Definitely the best dubstep in a trailer. Mm-hmm. If that was an award, it would win that.
Assassin's Creed 3 is kind of more of the overall campaign, because there were a ton of these trailers. But the first one, just the reveal, it's pretty exciting. Black Ops 2, the Guy Ritchie trailer, I forget what it was called, Surprise, basically the trailer where everybody's hunting somebody else but don't know that they're being hunted, and it just escalates throughout. It's pretty good.
Was that the Kobe Bryant Black Mamba one?
Yeah. It has like a mix of real people and actors.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Far Cry 3, the Halo 4 live action, I think David Fincher did that one.
That's pretty cool.
The Dust Force soundtrack. This is a little bit different, but let's face it, the game's music makes you want to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Darksiders 2 had a lot of getting to know death trailers. I enjoyed a handful of them. SSX actually just detailing their history with actually trying to use the real topographical information from the mountains. Made me pay attention to, they're trying hard on this one. And then Tokyo Jungle, for revealing itself as Tokyo Jungle.
Letting us know it exists. Is me.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out SSX, just because I got less excited as I was talking through the description. And it didn't get any votes.
The trailer for Tokyo Jungle mm-hmm. had me going, what? But I don't think it was particularly well done. I think anybody making a trailer for that game would have come to the same conclusion and made the same trailer, if that makes any sense.
They could have fucked it up, though. They could have, they could have tried to sell it. You know what I mean?
No, that would have worked, too, because we would have seen through that bullshit.
But what I think...
We would have still been what the fuck? Which is the only reason why we played that game.
But that one was more, to me, it felt more curiosity than actual, let's get in there. To me, hype package, I have to play, I have to get to the nitty gritty. That one was more I have to play it because I don't know what the hell that is. And,
right.
Far Cry 3, which trailers?
I was going to say with Far Cry 3, it was probably the original trailer that we saw at E3. Maybe the E3 demo.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. That the reveal
which
of
we all, which the I, villain. I have to give it credit because we all said after watching that, there's no way. It just looked too smooth. And I mean, now playing the game, we realize it actually,
Well, it still was bullshit because it was still those sequences were in the game,
but you
weren't playing.
No. But they did a pretty good job transition, but
it was well done, but at the time I thought it was stupid.
And it didn't get me excited. It was oh, well, that's really, really cool. But it didn't get me, again, hype to me is it's go time. Let's get this shit going,
Yeah.
Like the locker room before a football game in high school. System yeah, of the
more,
Down.
I would agree. It's more like curiosity than pump up. Which
great game though. Great game.
If they just showed you killing a bunch of animals, different
that would
ones.
Hit me up.
The montage of you just
with
like
that Sarah McLachlan song from her that would have hyped. That would have been
slow mo arrows. Like you remember the Killzone commercial with the bullet.
Yeah,
if they'd done that with an arrow, and at the end it went into like a helpless animal.
That
would have been so much better.
I'm gonna go ahead and throw out Borderlands 2 as a finalist.
Yeah, yes. Throw out or in?
Throw it. It is a finalist.
Okay,
I was gonna say.
It's pretty much a consensus vote on
yeah.
All right, so we've got two left. Far Cry 3 makes a I'm not going to eliminate it. Makes a strong case. The Halo 4 live action was cool.
Yeah, it was really really good.
But the pump up factor, like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
You didn't have your dukes up.
But the E3 demo, on the other hand. That got us talking about that game.
Mm.
We'll come back.
Are
to
you
that.
Saying because of the breadstick or because you're thinking? Okay.
That one.
Let's see. Dust. What?
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, moving on to Dust Force.
Yeah.
I love the soundtrack.
The thing is, that game is, to me, mediocre. It's well done. It's just. It's just weird.
It does.
It's not something I think about, like, that kind of gameplay, and I go, you know what I really want to do? I want to sweep the fuck out of some dust or some dirt, you know? Like, that's yeah, that's really yeah. what I want to like be the ultimate Swiffer, you know? That's not the gameplay. It's got this cool kind of timing thing going to, you get into a rhythm and that's cool and all. But I just never ever really got into it. But it looks great. The gameplay's solid and all that stuff. But The soundtrack made me buy the game, and I played the game, and I was like, eh, but the soundtrack has made me go back to the game a couple more times, even though I didn't really like it, which says a lot. And I, you know, I own the soundtrack, and I, instead of listening to it, sometimes would be like, yeah, maybe I'll play the game again, because maybe there was something I was missing that last time I played. And that is 100% purely the soundtrack's fault. That Lifeformed album is just absolutely, it would be amazing on its own, but just attaching it to something, I know, like, well, I can do this thing and listen to that. Like, yeah, it's, it gets me pumped every single time. It's pretty good. Have you heard the soundtrack? Mm-hmm. Have you heard it, Aaron?
I've heard it. It's really good.
I still think it gets docked a bit. Just like, I never push through.
I was gonna
actually
say,
play it much.
And
so.
Hype package.
That's not the whole point here. It's not about like the best game that got
no, a great hype package.
Right? It's just like the thing that got you pumped to play the game the most, even if you were disappointed when you started playing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I think
it doesn't matter.
I feel like I need more of a package. Yeah. Like I need it, like, not just hear the music.
And it's not.
It has
pump,
to be more to it.
And it's not a pump up soundtrack. Like, I love the soundtrack, but it's more atmospheric. It's more like,
dude,
I'm
really
chilling.
Good soundtrack.
I'm chilling. I'm not pumped up.
Well, yeah, but that's, I can get excited to do that.
Okay. You get excited to get chill?
Yeah, if I'm like, God, I cannot wait to take a nap. Oh, God, it's going to be so good.
So is, like, Teddy Ruxpin, like, a hype package to you? Was that, like, a story to you? Like, yeah, I'm getting sleepy.
Well, like, a really good massage. That's slow and sensual.
But you don't want
to. You can look forward to that
hyped.
A lot.
You don't want to get too hyped. Well, well actually, you
maybe
can.
Maybe you
well.
Do.
Assassin's Creed 3. Do. Lots of trailers for this.
What do you pick? Like, I think our podcast was the best hype package for that for me.
Actually, I'm gonna.
I was so pumped.
I'm gonna tie this and Darksiders 2 together, and like, it wasn't so much of a hype package of, I was so already going to play this game. Thanks for more information.
Yeah, more information.
Yeah.
I love information, but I mean, you know, the music, the pounding, the killing, the boo, that, you know, hype package.
Oops.
The Painkiller trailers made me buy the game.
Me too. I don't know
how else to argue for it.
I might have purchased the game on like a $5 Steam sale or something, yeah. But I actually bought it launch day because of the trailer. Because it made the game look good, and it had that badass song, like the metal was rocking, and like I'm like, fuck, that actually looks pretty good, and I have fond memories of Painkiller, and I've played the game, and guess what? It's pretty fun. It's Painkiller.
So we've got...
It's better than Serious Sam 3.
Yeah. Black Ops 2. Did that You didn't sound like the trailer stood out to you. Aaron, did you know which one I was talking about?
Ethan? I don't even know.
It was a really well done trailer, but it was almost condescending, I thought. It was like, oh, you're Black Ops. We get it. Like, you're cool, you're great, it was really good. Robert Downey Jr. shows up. It's like, okay, stop. You're not getting me excited. You're showing me all these people that are into this, and you're trying to pull me into something with just this faux celebrity bullshit. Wasn't hyped.
All right, so we've got...
Oh, and we missed one off this list. The Farming Simulator 2013. No scope corn shot YouTube video.
I'll put that in the article.
Because that was the best video for a game. Like, that is a game that no one ever could possibly get pumped for. And then you watch that video and you're like, man, I gotta check this shit out.
Yeah.
Holy shit. This looks hilarious. It looks fun.
Two spots, three left. Painkiller, Far Cry 3, Dust Force. I think sounds like Far Cry gets a consensus bump as a finalist.
I wasn't really hyped about it, but that's just because I was so my expectations for that game were in the dirt. Mm. And so
but yeah, the trailers didn't do it.
I'm not gonna do it. Like, I felt I'm like not gonna I was, do a hindsight thing here.
That'd I felt like I was the only one pumped up for the game.
Yeah, we were skeptical.
Okay,
we were really skeptical.
And you're the only one that hasn't played it here.
So I've got Painkiller and Dust Force. Are we are those finalists over? Halo was the other closest.
I'm an idiot though, so I don't think that counts. Like, I think the Halo shit is probably really played out, and like no one gives a fuck. But I don't know why I like the Chief. You don't even see his face. He's like and Cortana, like she's not even a real person. Come on.
Hey,
but I got really pumped for Halo. I like Halo. I like the story shit, and they got me pumped for that.
Hey,
okay, it's Halo versus.
I liked it.
Halo versus Dust Force because it's like this Painkiller in. The argument is not going to come from against. It's going to be you two arguing against it.
Oh, I was going to say I didn't buy the game, but I thought it was a pretty badass trailer. Okay. I mean, so yeah.
So Dust Force or Halo 4?
I would give it to Halo because I kind of agree with Ethan that I think a hype packet should be more than just the music. But okay. I get what Josh was saying.
You okay with Halo 4, Josh, over Dust Force?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because hopefully we'll have a conversation about that Dust Force soundtrack later on.
So, sticking with our trend, I think we know the winner.
Yeah.
That fucking Borderlands 2 trailer. It's self awareness is what really sold me.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
And it just epitomized. This game is just more Borderlands, and
but it illustrated to me one of my biggest issues with Borderlands. Illustrated that it wasn't going to go in that direction is that I felt like there was a lot of stale parts of that game that you're just like, okay, you're slogging through enemies, you're killing enemies. This showed some, I don't want to say set piece battles, but kind of within the whole context of the game, like much more exciting shit was going down, I guess is the most, the most scientific way to explain
it. I didn't like living in the world of Borderlands 1, mm-mm. But Borderlands 2, some of the world is like pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to look at. And,
Borderlands
and
2
hang out in.
Takes best hype package.
Whoop.
And Painkiller HD, Hell and Damnation, excuse me, and Halo 4 or the other finalists. This moves us to another new favorite category, best trucks.
Oh, man.
I guess get a little break. Not as many nominees this time, but still some winners here. Halo 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is the truck.
Far Cry 3.
Those are trucks.
PlanetSide 2.
Those are trucks.
Truckish.
Oh, no, the Sunderer?
Oh, yeah.
That big-ass truck?
Yeah, that's a big truck.
You can get a horn on it now.
Can you really?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about it. We had a good truck experience.
Yeah, and you can flash the lights as fast as you want. You can, like, play Morse code, or you can just, like, smash the horn and flash the lights and let people know you're barreling in to kill shit. And I ran over so much shit last night. Fences, like, guardrails, buildings, dudes, tanks. Other trucks.
I forgot about that truck. Oh, how can I forget about that truck?
It's got more wheels.
It's got
than
so
other trucks.
Many wheels.
Yeah. It's big. It holds a lot of bros. A
lot of bros.
It's got big guns on it.
Two guns.
Okay.
A bro to gun, each gun.
Need for Speed Most Wanted.
There's no trucks in that game.
There's trucks in that game. You can drive
it. There are trucks in the game.
Drive a fucking Toyota truck.
Not my version.
Optimus Prime.
He's a
truck.
Yeah.
Truck
and a actually, robot. That truck. It's pretty fun plowing through shit.
And extending our definition, the bikes from Trials Evolution.
The truckiest of all trucks. If they could be trucks, they may.
Now, in case you hadn't noticed, trucks is a loose definition, in my opinion.
And it's got a Z at the end.
Yeah.
It's the kind of assholiest physics-related vehicles that are fun to just fuck around in. Accurate? Mm-hmm. We had to put a...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the acronym means, isn't it?
All right, so Halo 4 is a finalist.
Yes.
I didn't even play the game, and I know that. Absolutely.
It's familiar, but... Something about in the single player especially, the level design in Halo 4, they still design it so that they, like, if there's an area they do not want you to take the truck into, there's like a barrier, but it's not a completely impassable barrier, because we found a way to get the Warthog way past beyond, like, the points where you're supposed to take Warthogs. Like, we would have to get to another major story cutscene where it would despawn the truck. Otherwise, we had a Warthog with us the entire game. And they changed the sound. It sounds so much.
That's my favorite part about Halo 4. It's like, oh, they redid every little thing and
looked good, sounded good. That's got to be on in the finals.
And it looks like
for me,
I'm going to go ahead and say Planet Side 2 gets in. So really, it's a battle for the third finalist between Far Cry 3, Optimus Prime, Need for Speed Most Wanted, and the bikes from Trials.
I feel like we should just stop talking if Optimus Prime isn't put into this. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to throw out Need for Speed Most Wanted. Just as a huge fan of that game, it wasn't the asshole physics that drove those. I like all the vehicles, not just the trucks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But bikes, I really like the bikes. I mean, Trials is defined by its physics, and it's fun to crash horrifically in that game, and that's the same vein for me as far as where my level of entertainment comes from vehicles and video games. But I haven't experienced the Far Cry 3 trucks, so somebody sell me either way on the Far Cry 3 trucks.
They're just fun in a goofy kind of way, but not in a way that, like, I'm not going to sit and defend them with my life.
Well, have you guys played Flat Out, those games?
No.
Like, it's like the racing games, but you're driving like muscle cars and shit and mud, and you're ramping stuff, and it's just like, and when you crash into something, your dude will fly through the windshield and you scream, and he'll go, like, if you go fast enough and hit like a fence at the right angle, you can launch him probably a good quarter mile. And it's really it's like super fun because it's just sloppy handling and all that. And Far Cry handles like flat out because
you just
drive like an asshole and it's great on road, off road, whatever, jeeps, cars, doesn't matter what you're in. And and also has probably the best wrecks. Like, when you crash that thing, it gets violent and you can die and explode and you can get tossed out of the car.
That's the key factor for me is the mayhem that you can also call these. And I like that it's the physics side of Trials Evolution that gets the bump for me, and that's where I wonder, Optimus Prime is an awesome truck, but is he a truck? Is he our truck?
I mean, he's a truck, but I mean, I guess when you just put it that way, maybe he's not a truck.
I had more fun driving like hunting cows and bears and shit in the Jeeps in Far Cry than I did plowing through Decepticons as Optimus Prime.
Okay.
Does anybody want to join my battle for bikes?
No.
I want those Far Cry 3 Jeeps to make it in.
Yeah, you guys resold me on that, I guess.
Driving off a cliff into the ocean.
Double checking our votes and it doesn't sway us, so we'll cave to the Far Cry 3. Actually, I'm fine with that.
They're just fun. They're just sloppy fun. They're just bullshitty, sloppy
that
fun.
Sounds like it fits then.
Yeah.
Okay.
like Dead Island trucks, but like they actually handle kind of the way you expect them to. Yeah. The physics were just way more fun. But they have that same kind of feel.
So
like, yeah, it was just the physics were just wonky. And this one,
I'm scared right now.
Stupid shit in cars.
Because you have to pick a winner out of Halo 4, Planet Side 2, Far Cry 3, best trucks.
There's one king to me. You guys deliberate this because there's one king of the trucks. I mean, you can't say, like, you know, who's the best, you know, kaiju, you know, giant monster, and you'd be like, well, I really like Ghidorah. "Oh, Mothra is the best." Like, it's fucking Godzilla, you idiots. And I feel the same way about the Warthog. So, but you guys talk amongst yourselves.
I was going to say, I like the Warthog, don't get me wrong, but the feeling I got in PlanetSide 2 was just, there's a lot to that truck. It wasn't just a truck. It was more than a truck. Think about all the bro. I mean, you're right. You got so many bros in that truck. There's guns on that truck. It was intimidating to see those trucks. And when you got a line of those trucks going, I mean, come on.
I mean, we had a truck convoy.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
That was what happened. That literally happened in a game. All of us. And you were talking about strangers. You were talking about strangers and how much you love strangers. Well, I was in a truck full of strangers, okay?
It's true.
And we were fighting for one cause.
Trucks are for bros.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Trucks are for bros.
Bro trucks.
I mean, my vote's for Halo 4, but I can't speak to the other two games. So, other than I got excited by the giant truck at PlanetSide 2 when Josh and I were playing it, but is anybody pushing for Far Cry 3 up in contention for winner?
No.
For winner?
Okay. Not here.
All right. So it's PlanetSide 2 and Halo. One vote for each. I think Aaron and I are in the Halo 4 crowd.
Yeah.
Ethan, are you okay with Warthogs winning? I want a consensus.
Oh. That's not a big deal at all.
Okay.
No. I'm not going to...
Halo 4 takes the inaugural.
You're not going to fight it.
That's a good truck. It's a good truck. Yes, if it was a bad truck, I would say no, but it's a good truck, so I'll say yes.
I do like the Sunderer a lot.
Such a big
But it's
truck.
Almost a van. But vans don't do what this thing does.
I was
going
to say, a van
It performs like a truck. It holds dudes like a van, but you could just call it a truck with a camper shell, too. So, yeah. And that's not a van, so... Nope. All right, I take back. That was a stupid
comment.
That was a
stupid
comment. I take that back.
God. Can we?
Dumb.
Can we?
How dare you?
We're going to move on to a very, very important category. Presented by David Hayter. The best digital butt. Let me run through these butts.
And they're assets. They could be any part of it's.
Okay, yes.
Right? I mean, because that's
it's
what
like
the.
It's like trucks or guns.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right. Cortana from Halo 4.
They did something to her this time around. Woo!
Implants?
That's crazy.
Miranda from Mass Effect 3. Maya from Borderlands 2. Citra from Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 6.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Juliet Starling from Lollipop Chainsaw.
Whoa.
Metroplex from Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Who put that in there?
Max Payne. From Max Payne 3.
Yeah. He had that Bruce Willis thing going on.
The Pomeranian from Tokyo Jungle.
Oh. Sick bastards.
And Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, which technically came out in 3D on the 3DS this year.
Yep. 3D. 3D butts. 3D snake butts.
Which butts are we throwing out?
Pomeranian.
There's not much you can do with it. Not much you can do with that butt.
It has no butt. It's just fur. Like, if you shave a Pomeranian, it's a butthole and bones.
That's not good.
That's how I describe a Pomeranian.
Nope.
And Metroplex, I don't remember ever seeing him from behind. Like,
you doubting that butt?
That's the biggest
maybe the
butt.
Mystery. Maybe the what, mystery
I mean,
is the
but
lore.
The thing is, like, Metroplex is like a city. So, like, what was his butt? Like, some part of his, like, his whatever his butt is, was
city hall.
Is a functional thing.
Sewers.
More like Shitty Hall.
I thought you were laughing at me, but you were laughing at your own joke before you told it. I want to throw out Juliet Starling.
Too easy.
There were plenty of other like Japanese games that had more panties.
It just, yeah. Even in the comparison of what it was trying to emulate, that wasn't the standout feature, and it was so gratuitous. Like by the end, it's part of.
It was
like,
also self-aware. I mean,
yeah, it's part of like the nature of that game. You don't notice it because it's in your face entirely.
Although there was that animation where she's cutting open like a door and it's like bending down in front of you slowly. It was kind of funny.
Usually,
they're really showing it off, but You might as well pick Dead or Alive, you know, characters if you're going to pick her, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, and it was funny and stuff, but it, I didn't, you know, it didn't get my blood, you know, boiling like
Chris Redfield.
Yeah, Chris Redfield's guns or Snake's 3D strapped rear end.
Maya from Borderlands 2.
Yeah, that butt was a little bit too cartoony for me. You know what I mean? I don't want to see the outline of your butt, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's artistic. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of black lined. Like,
yeah, not really. Not my thing. Good butt. If I was, you know,
but the illusion was broken by the cell shading.
Yeah. Didn't seem soft.
I can't masturbate cell shading characters. Well,
not easily.
And as, like, this was Mass Effect 2. Right. I have no problem recommending Miranda.
This was the wrong nomination for Mass Effect 3.
I mean, I think she gets...
This is the wrong one. Liara was the correct one. Because they did things to her.
They did change her character.
They
model.
Did things to her. The whole model, I'm not talking about certain parts, although those parts too, but like she ended up being my love interest. And I'm not saying it's because of her character model, because, you know, I think the voice actor and the writing probably did it. But I had all these girls to choose from, and I mean all of them, and some dudes, and I chose her. There's got to be something going on there that's worth talking about.
I could get behind Liara.
I think it was Liara, not Miranda. I mean Miranda was fine, but she wasn't even on the screen that much, you know?
All right.
Might as well pick Jessica
Max Payne.
Chobot.
I think Max Payne doesn't win out between... Our men category. I think Solid Snake and Chris Redfield have a couple things.
Max Payne.
Plus his ass is beat to hell.
Oh, dude.
We messed up.
We made a big
whoops. Thank you for DMing in the chat,
Mr. Dave's wife.
Right, we have a write-in vote.
Can we do that?
I totally forgot.
I did too. You know what? That's really bad.
She was so pretty,
and she was way out of his league.
Oh, way out of his league.
But you know what? There's something about Mr. Dave.
Well, obviously she's with him.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks he's like he could save.
He's
the
not a rich
kingdom.
Man. He is not a rich man.
No, he's not.
So what is it? His heart.
No.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't even have one.
So what is it?
Well,
as far as new character models go, I would give the nod to Cortana.
Whoa! Just.
I mean,
whoa!
Any disagreements with throwing her into the finalists right now?
Nope.
No.
If I had any problems with it, it's because there's not really anything there.
Wait.
I mean, if she was real life,
removed from it being just a video game character, but it's a
video game character in a video game, and that blows my mind. Like okay, this sounds weird.
She's based on a woman.
Yeah, but you can't touch a hologram.
Not yet.
You're right. Okay. But I don't know.
Wait till the second or third game in that trilogy.
I mean,
if she doesn't become if she's going to be like Pinocchio, this is this new trilogy is just Pinocchio.
But she's not Pinocchio yet, is she? When she becomes Pinocchio,
she will
let's
be.
Talk.
But she will be
in 2015. You can put her on this list again. Okay.
But that's the thing. Like by then, she turns into a real person. She may get saggy.
Oh. Yeah, she probably has, like a cyborg body, I think.
That's even worse.
Why?
That's way worse.
They can make him real fleshy.
Ew.
What do you want? What, bony?
Where they just have like the goo gun from Ghostbusters 2, just fill it with flesh and spray it onto a T-800.
It's like those live dolls.
Chris Redfield's in. Is that right?
Yeah.
Man.
With flying colors. Are you kidding me? That guy
what
works
a good looking guy.
Even being a drunkard, he still looks good. He's well-shaped man.
Yeah. He's maybe the best looking dude in video games right now.
Yes.
And I know
this year.
I know you love yourself some Solid Snake, but Snake Eater, Solid Snake.
No. It was just the thing. It was like, hey, Snake's ass, because it's always in your face in those games, and it's just so like chiseled, and it was just like the Phantom Pain trailer from the VGAs. When everybody's like, is that a Metal Gear game or not? Did you see the character's ass? That was Snake's ass from the very beginning. I knew it was him.
Oh, yeah. That was
him, yeah. I didn't want to say it before, but this somehow I feel safe right now talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're not going to hold this against me later.
No.
But no, you're right. It's just because it was in 3D, I was just real excited.
Yeah.
So I've got Cortana and Chris in the finals. So the last is between Liara and Citra.
Dude, Citra is real. it's kind of weird because she does force herself upon you, and I thought then that was really awkward. But at the same time, like, if it was going to happen, and this is awful, I know that what I'm saying is awful, but if it was going to happen, like, there's a lot worse that you could have happen to you.
Whole island full of a lot worse.
She's very pretty.
Yeah.
And those were very realistic nipples. those were like, and her breasts were in your face, and that doesn't happen in games these days. Not anymore.
And they weren't fake. They were well-shaped breasts. And I think nowadays, video games, and I'm going to say this.
Okay.
Video game boobs are quite inflated. Okay.
But oh, God, yeah.
Metaphorically and literally.
Although sometimes they're shapely enough where you think, like, that looks like maybe that'd be natural if they took the shirt off.
But she was...
But they don't take shirts off in games because we don't have that.
Nope.
We don't have, you know, NC-17 games. M-rated games just don't ever show boobs, it seems like.
She had a not a gymnast body, maybe like a track runner's body.
Yeah.
Which is okay. That's good.
Oh, yeah, it's like good. Yeah, it is.
Maybe a pole vaulter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pole vaulter's body.
We gotta make some choices here, though.
She could be in Pole Riders.
Citra, Liara, and Cortana are the three we're considering. We need to pick two of those. I can't have a comment on Citra. I am 100% behind Cortana and Liara.
She's just confident and sexy. And to me, because I'm American, she's foreign. And that was kind of has a thing to it. The little accent, like the accent's hot.
Mysterious, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's got kind of that punk vibe kind of too, though. You know, kind of, she doesn't have like
it's just piercings and tattoos.
Yeah, you know. I know that's not
so
punk.
So Citra, it sounds like you're making a good case for Citra. So are we trying?
No. I'm going through. Okay. It takes me a minute to switch modes. Yeah.
Aaron, you haven't weighed in here.
I would have Cortana... are we forgetting about Chris Redfield? Is he out?
Chris Redfield is in the finals.
No, he's in. He's in there.
He's a shoo-in.
There. Okay. All right. And I don't know. I haven't gotten to the part of Far Cry 3 where Citra does the stuff. So.
Okay.
I would probably give it to Liara.
Here's my question about Liara. Now,
it's not about just butts, by the way. Just so we're clear here at the end.
Because
digital assets.
Because Cortana is technically, her software could be improved.
Mm-hmm.
I was more okay with the upgraded character model for Cortana than Liara. Like, I was close to Liara for Mass Effect 1 and 2 and was kind of, what'd you do to Liara? That was my first reaction. Yeah, it's...
So you have a problem with puberty, is what you're saying.
I don't...
Or body... People's bodies change, dude. Like, that's what happens when you get older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. And sometimes it's for the better, and that needs to be okay. Why isn't that okay?
I'm trying to decide.
You didn't get the scene that I did.
Yeah, I did.
In Shepherd's Quarters. Oh, you did? How many times did you replay this?
You guys have to make a decision. We got two Cortana Liara votes. But you guys are actually swaying me on Citra being...
I know who my winner is, so I mean, throw mine up there. Throw my wild card vote up there. You know,
what do you think, sir? You've played all three. If you had, I mean, we're
oh man, it's tough because it's like one was like super real, like in your face real. Another one was like literally an alien, but like just you know, like just the all. I feel like Kirk, you know. And then the other one is like, she's not real, but you still get those feelings. Like, that's almost, to me, more impressive. That you look at, like, Cortana, and you're like, oh, shit.
I couldn't stand Cortana in the first couple
but
of games.
But deceptive.
I don't even care. Like, and this is like, I don't care. And if you would say to me, I don't really find, you know, video game characters attractive, that's fine. Because that's probably most people don't really find them attractive. However... Your brain goes to a place, and the guys when they make, or ladies, whatever, people, make these digital art assets, they're basing them on people that make you feel a certain way. There's no shame in looking at a holographic character.
Who are you preaching to?
And saying,
drop one of these ladies.
I'm getting tight in the pants.
So we can give it to Chris. Drop one of these ladies.
This sounds like the birds and the bees.
I'm gonna drop Citra because she forced herself on me, and I didn't appreciate that.
That's
I would have given it to her willingly. She didn't have to take it.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice nips though. That was finals. Good digital nipples. I'm not saying good on her. I'm saying good on the people who did that.
A lot of magic.
It was very accurate.
Cortana, Chris Redfield, Liara. Anybody arguing against Chris?
No, I'm not. I'm not about to do that. Is this live?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Can't fall back on my vote.
Chris Redfield
is
our winner of the best digital button. Yeah.
Glad we got that figured out.
This is really best guns again.
All right. This might be a little bit more serious. But this is our More of These award, which is up next. This is our award for the mid-tier games, the tier of games that we're kind of afraid are going to go away, but these kind of...
Because of THQ.
Yeah, because THQ is no more, and they're the ones
making... They produced all of them, yeah.
Platinum Games thrives off this category, by the way.
Mm.
This is what they do.
There it is. Sorry. Our nominees for Darksiders 2, Prototype 2, Binary Domain, Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, The Darkness 2, Lollipop Chainsaw, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, Transformers, Fall of Cybertron, and Zombie U. Opening arguments, any of those you want to drop or you want to go ahead and promote?
I think we can go ahead and drop Kingdoms. I really like that game. Got a lot of time. Put a lot of time into it, but it got stale. Fell flat. Relatively, you know.
I'm not ready to toss it out right out of the gate. I'm ready to toss out a lot of Pop Chainsaw because it could have been better for what it was.
Yeah. Prototype 2.
Yeah. Toss that. Yep.
Darkness 2. Got to drop that.
Yep.
Darkness 2? No, yeah. I'm not ready to drop that.
No fucking way.
I am.
I would drop Darksiders 2 before I drop the Darkness 2.
I will fight that one. To the death. Not really.
Aaron, you've played both of those. Weigh in.
I would keep Darksiders 2, but Darkness 2, I was okay with the story, so I would keep that one as well. I liked it more than the first.
You can't do that. We can only have one game with dark in it. It's too confusing. What?
There could be only one.
All the dark. All the darks.
Do we have any absolute?
Whoa.
I think I see two absolute finalists on here. Binary Domain.
Oh, yeah. Fucking, that's so, it's the perfect, like, $30 to $40 game.
And Dragon's Dogma.
You know how I feel about that. I can't even... I'm completely partial.
I might be swayed by him. So, Aaron, you've got a little bit of an outside opinion. Do you feel strong about Dragon's Dogma?
It's one of those games where I don't know if it was my favorite mid-tier, but I think it needs a sequel. It can do things. It can improve. But I have had some fun with it.
It's some of my favorite moments out of any game this year. Just like... awesome boss battles, awesome dungeons, like, and it was always fun to play. Like, the fighting was always really fun.
Okay. Yeah, it was really good. I did a lot of walking, though.
I'm going to go ahead and join in. We'll throw out Reckoning and The Darkness 2. Just looking through. This is a strong list.
I really liked Fall of Cybertron.
Not a weak list.
I really liked Transformers. I thought it was a super fun game. Like, it was just fun, like, through and through.
And... Aaron, did you play Darksiders? You played Darksiders 2. Like,
I played some of it. I haven't finished it yet.
I'm quite cool on it. Ethan's pretty up on it, but as far as the competition's pretty stiff here.
I was going to say, I'm up on it just based on the fact that I wasn't able to play those other games. But, I mean, to me, it's still in the end, Darksiders 2, I didn't finish it. You know, like, I put a lot of time into it, but it didn't have that oomph to carry me over, I guess. So, I mean, again, it was a very full game.
Yeah.
But, you know, you guys seem pretty enthusiastic about your games. I mean, Josh looks really enthusiastic.
I'm going to go ahead.
Well, I always do, though, probably.
You
right?
probably do, yeah.
I love me some Zombie U, but I recognize its faults.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree there. That's one a Zombie U2 would be really.
All right. So we've
full
got,
of Bono.
I think we're down to three for two spots. We've got Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, and Transformers.
I think Dragon's Dogma, just based on all the mythology that came out of that, actually playing the game, but outside of the game. I mean, we've we made a really, really good friend this past year
because of that
game. And I think it'd be an injustice to leave that out. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I hope not, but maybe it is.
I just thought that was just like so good.
I can't weigh in on Sleeping Dogs versus Transformers. I've heard amazing things about Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just haven't been able to play it yet. But I have seen, like, all the games I haven't played, I've watched other people play. Mm-hmm. So I know what it is and maybe whether or not I would like it or not. And Sleeping Dogs looks really awesome. Yeah. So that's kind of one of those that
like, it is.
Yeah. And it's on my list. It's just, it's unfortunate. Like, I can't. Like, I'm not, it's one of those things I won't fight it, but I can't say, yeah, put that on because I didn't play it. But I definitely will not fight that game because it looks fucking awesome.
I guess I'm leaning towards, I don't know why I'm leaning towards Sleeping Dogs. Like, I look at
Transformers is a sequel to a game and it plays a lot like the previous one. Yeah. And so for that reason, I would be okay if it fell off. I just wish, like, it was just super fun and people should play it if especially because it's going to go on sale. You know, it's Steam this week, probably. Yeah. So, pick it up.
Yeah.
Looking for it.
All right, our finalists for more of these award: Binary Domain, Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs. My vote goes to Dragon's Dogma. It really, really impressed me, and I really bet against Capcom on this, and it's a much more full game than I anticipated, and I hope they do more like it. I hope they take these risks, And honestly, like, looking at this and Reckoning, I need that mid-tier kind of RPG. Mm-hmm. And I think this kind of encapsulated that. Like, if I had to pick one or the other, that's kind of why I'm bumping up Dragon's Dogma. Because I really did like Reckoning, but this one had less... This one had more fun it, too.
And it's definitely got to get points for coming out of nowhere and basically being the game that people were buying so they can get the demo for Resident Evil 6 at the time. I mean, that was kind of... the push.
Yeah.
But it was a good game and we had a lot of fun. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching it, had a lot of fun making up stories about it, dreaming about it sometimes, you know, talking to my wife about it at inappropriate, you know, dinners. So the conversation wasn't inappropriate. The dinners themselves were inappropriate. So I think, I don't know, Dragon's Dogma has definitely got my vote just because I don't have experience with the other ones.
Well, hey, that's, I don't know what you, I can't argue with that logic. With that, yeah. I don't know what you get.
Good job.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Aaron. Go ahead, Aaron. Because I don't have it yet.
Between those two, I have all three of them. I haven't played any Binary Domains, so I don't know. Can't speak too much about that one. But Dragon's Dogma, it's a game I want to see more of. It was a fun RPG, I agree. If I had to play Dogma or Kingdoms of Amalur, I would play Dogma. But I really like Sleeping Dogs, but I think kind of foreseeing the future of this vote, I don't think that one's going to make it.
I will say... consensus from our voting was much more leaning much more heavily on Dragon's Dogma. Binary Domain and Sleeping Dogs didn't really get the support, but you're the Binary Domain man and the Dragon's Dogma man. If you feel strong about Dragon's Dogma over Binary Domain, that would be kind of my kicker.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like Mr. Dave has sort of colored my opinions of Dragon's Dogma. I mean, the game is awesome, and I was having a real blast playing Liam Neeson. And then when we created Mr. Dave, it just completely changed things.
Yeah, Mr. Dave.
So Mr. Dave factor, like, for me, like, would put that game over the top. However, Binary Domain was the sleeper. I mean, Dragon's Dogma was a sleeper too.
Sleeping Dogs,
but it was just
sleeper.
Like super Japanese.
there's a lot of sleepers in this category.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs had no like, I got just to, I would, I, my order right now is Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, Binary Domain.
And the problem with this vote is there's like one of each of these that each of us didn't play.
Yeah.
And
that's where
that sucks. That's so tough.
That's where I'll go with the tiebreaker in our voting from the rest of the site towards Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I won't fight that. I think Sleeping Dogs could easily take it. And for me personally, Binary Domain was right there too. Cause it was just so well done and nobody played it. And that fucking sucks because it was crazy. It was like I felt the same way about that game as I did Vanquish, and it had better writing. It had a better like story.
Oh, wow.
It was hilarious. Like the whole way through, it was just so funny. I don't know what the deal was there, who the writing staff was, but they killed it. It
what
was
about
just
the
hilarious.
Action? Like
yeah, it was solid. It was just solid. It was super competent third person shooter, and it had like some set piece boss battles that were some of the best of the year. But then again, Dragon's Dogma had amazing boss battles and
yeah.
And oh, the, yeah. really good combat, and the story stuff was just like, you didn't give a shit, but it was funny because it was some of it was kind of cheesy and bad.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know.
That
kind of all comes out in the wash.
The cheesiness factor like endears me to some of these middle tier games. That's what holds them back.
Oh,
what
yeah.
else I love about them.
Sure.
And I think Dragon's Dogma encapsulates
yeah.
that well. So
yeah.
Dragon's Dogma takes home our more of these award.
Good job.
Yeah. All three games, just, buy these games.
You just buy them all.
Yeah, they're all.
They're all games. You can play.
They're all games, man.
next up is a new award that kind of proud of. It's popped up in a lot of our conversation, but this is the Date Night Award, the game that you're most likely to play. Date Nights with Significant Others. The nominees, Diablo 3, New Super Mario Bros. U, The Walking Dead, Dance Central 3, Rhythm Heaven Fever, Torchlight 2, Rock Band Blitz. Now, I have been swayed quite a bit on the positive factors of a date night with Diablo 3 or Torchlight 2, but I don't feel comfortable nominating both. Can we pick one?
I have an opinion that's very strong here because, very specifically, I had very good experiences on date night with Diablo 3 and okay. Pretty good experiences with Torchlight. The problem was accessibility. Diablo 3 is super accessible. Torchlight 2 doubles down on all the stuff that like could be for a casual player might just be a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. Like Diablo 3 is just like anybody can pick it up and go, which to almost to a fault, you know.
It's interesting in that I think
easier
visually, Diablo 3 isn't as inviting. Gameplay wise, it's much more inviting than Torchlight. Torchlight 2, like, you look just the graphic style and the world, it looks more inviting, but it's a much more complex game to play and harder to manage your character, and you can screw things up. So that, like, that frustration level would set in really quick, but I see a big hurdle with, getting over Diablo 3, but I also think that if you're both gamers, and I think Diablo 3 gets elevated by the longevity factor, that if you can get over that hurdle, it seems a little bit more welcoming for me.
I personally know a ton of couples that play Diablo 3 together. Way more than any other game on this list, for sure.
Do you guys in your past know couples that played Diablo 2?
Yeah, tons.
Aaron, what's your...
I don't know. I don't have that kind of experience with it, but I mean, I played Diablo 2 myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have no frame of reference for this category at all. All
right, so one of those is going to make it. As far as the things I would make the push for Walking Dead, but let's. I'm going to get started. Opening conversations for Walking Dead, but there's something about the interactive storytelling elements of that. As far as a bridge game into gaming for non-gamers, I think it's actually kind of welcoming because it plays off the popularity of the series, but people can actually almost enjoy the watching of that experience. And
it's barely interactive for player two.
If
it's date night and you're the only one with a controller in their hand,
okay.
That's like the date night. That date night would work for my date night, but maybe not for other people.
I would be okay with eliminating it on that fact. If we want to go ahead and say going forward that this award,
you got to be able to play it to some degree. Okay. I mean, it's to some degree at all.
Everybody okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
I mean, that's one of those like you might as well. I mean,
sorry, Lee.
We're not reading that. We're not allowed. yeah. I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But again, that would work with... Aubrey would watch me play that game. She would not play a game.
But you wouldn't do it on date night. That sounds weird. Like, You're like, hey, let's do something together. That's the whole point
if
of date
we,
night.
If we were going to play a game, it would be that on
the,
date
the
night.
Other,
well, that's that doesn't count because that means you don't play the games together.
Yeah, I know.
I know Aaron had personal experience with Rock Band Blitz. Now, this is, you don't both have the controller in hand at the same time, but you do, you can alternate and play and try to beat each other's score.
I think could, that's yeah. fine. That's fine because you're... Yeah, your back wife, and forth. Anything competitive like that, you're playing for score.
Your wife enjoyed that game.
Play pinball on date night.
Yeah, it's one of the few games my wife and I both played.
What about Rhythm Heaven Fever, if you had to choose one or the other? For date night.
Rhythm Heaven Fever's got some two-player games in it, but I never had the experience other than myself, and I thought it was funny just to bring up the characters in the game going on the date, kicking the balls away from the weasels or whatever. But if I had to choose, Rock Band Blitz.
Okay. Kicking the balls away from the weasel, that should win. Just
based on that, yeah.
It's a date
the description
night.
Of it is
that's exactly what happens on everyone's date night. Or if you're lucky.
I'm comfortable moving New Super Mario Brothers U into the finalists. Just there's across the board, every Wii U owner we know is playing that together with their significant other. So,
yep.
Dance Central 3, I actually heard that, like, I didn't get to experience this one.
Not bad.
I heard it was actually out of the Dance Central entries, maybe even the most difficult one to get into. Like, as far as they've just kind of added more to it. So,
if none of us played it, then it's going to be hard to place votes on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's only 7.
Thank God some of us play with significant others, because otherwise we wouldn't have anything to talk about. We wouldn't be able to vote on this.
So I'm looking at... Those are out. Sound like Diablo 3 was winning that argument. Is that safe?
I mean, for me, that's... Yes, but
if I was going to play any of those games with somebody, it'd be probably Diablo 3.
The pacing is perfect.
Yeah,
for that, like Diablo, or for date night, and like I think like it's one of the easiest to get into, but also like it's the most like Mario is awesome. That's really good, but it's just it's not. It's like a really good Mario game, but it's not necessarily, you know, that different from other Mario games. And it's still like a
I don't know if that's a bad thing. No,
I get that. But Diablo did, like, the changes they made were almost, like, perfect for this particular scenario we're talking about. Like, all the things that the average, like, hardcore solo or online, whatever, Diablo player would bitch about makes date night eat better in Diablo. Like, it was just made for this. Like, it's, and again, this is an ease of access thing. And I think for so many people, like, date night is like, you gotta make sure that, if you've got if one or even both of you are not super, super into games, it's gotta be easy enough to get into. And Mario, believe it or not, is pretty fucking hard. Like, it gets
tough.
That's
very
fucking
welcoming.
And what?
That's very fucking welcoming.
Well, for you maybe, but what if you got somebody who's not really awesome? Like, I mean, I don't have this problem either. I'm just saying, like, just from the point of, like, what's the game? What's the game you recommend? And, you know, maybe Rock Band Blitz is good at this, too. It's just me. It's my opinion. But
the finalists, Diablo 3, New Super Mario Bros. U, Rock Band Blitz. I think it's between Diablo 3 and New Super Mario Bros. U.
Okay.
I feel like I have to give the push to Mario, and I get, Diablo 3 is easier than playing Diablo 2, but, I mean, this category, I guess, is heavily dependent on the other person, how into games they are. Like, my wife would be more likely to play Mario with me, but she also does not have a Battle.net account, and she would not enjoy Diablo.
What's her problem? Tell her to get one right now.
So it's really...
Register right now.
Yeah. If we're talking about a gamer couple, we're both our traditional gamers, Diablo 3 gets the nod. If you're talking about more of the bridge. I think that's where New Super Mario Brothers gets nuts.
I guess. I just know, anecdotally or whatever, like, just know.
Sure.
See these other scenarios where you've got people that are not necessarily, like, really crazy into games, but it's like, can you operate a mouse? Everyone can. Then you can play Diablo. Can you operate a D-pad and some buttons and run and jump on platforms that are moving and shit? Like, there's no way you can tell me Mario is more accessible than Diablo. No fucking way.
Yeah, I think there's
way more coordination.
Where are you at?
If there's a tiebreaker, and I understand exactly Diablo 3, but again, I go back to kind of what Aaron said. If my wife was going to play a game, regardless of the difficulty, she would be more apt to play Mario Brothers, because with Diablo, it's almost like, I don't know, there's a barrier of entry for that. It's a very easy game, but just the factor of, is this a game that I want to
get into?
It's
just recognizable, though. It has nothing. You're talking about the game probably in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm in this scenario, and we play all these games, and it's like, but it's like Diablo,
and
I don't know.
It's like, it's almost like the gamer wife versus the normal wife. It's almost like you need two categories.
Also, and playing Mario Brothers together, like cooperatively, requires real coordination. If you're both really good, you can play competitively, and that's fun. If you're not both really good, you got to play cooperatively, and you got to struggle to do that.
Yeah,
that is not easy to play, like, just straight through cooperative.
You might have swayed me, because I think New Super Mario Brothers U is actually harder to play together.
Absolutely, it'll start fights. Like, it has. It's caused it has caused in my house more times than Diablo.
And if you,
New Super Mario Brothers U has caused people to go to bed early, and caused people to sleep in different beds.
Am I? Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like if you get over the learning curve in Diablo 3, like that initial, then you're just off and running a marathon. Like, and there's something to that. So I'm coming back on the Diablo 3 side.
And here's the other thing. And I got to point this out because it's a super valid point. Verdian in the chat says that his vote was Mario because consoles being more accessible. And I'm going to say, you know what, if you'd said that maybe, I don't know, at some point, maybe years ago or something, that might be the case. But now, like, so many people, computers are cheap. Everyone's got them.
Not even that. Like,
you can play on laptops.
The Wii U right now, just availability and the, I don't know.
Well, sure, absolutely. You know, but we have to kind of maybe throw that aside.
And Diablo 3 scales so well and...
Most people are going to have a couple of computers, and you can play Diablo on a laptop. You know, most any modern laptop's going to, you know, should run it just fine. And everybody knows how to use a computer. Yeah. The Wii U, while yes, only one of you has to own it and it hooks up to the, you know, you're sitting on your couch, not everybody, you know, will be able to buy a Wii U or wants to. And the interface is like, you know, you got the pad and you have to have a couple of, Wiimotes, and it's kind of weird. It's not like the gamepad itself. Any gamepad is not as easily accessible as a mouse with two buttons, which you can play Diablo with. You don't even have to use the keyboard.
Where are you at, Ethan?
I just don't think it's a good category. But I mean, you really have to look. It's kind of there's way too many perspectives to it, because again, and Verdine actually brings up a really good point. Is let's say it was your okay. Let's look at it, multiple different situations.
Here.
Some that game, some that doesn't game. Your first date. Let's say you're like, hey, we don't have anything to do, or maybe it's your fifth date, because first
only,
date don't.
Well, you only go on one person. Of those. Like,
yeah, I'm still playing the longevity side on that angle, and I still feel like
I don't know.
The thing that it all comes out in the wash,
like,
though.
If gaming is a common date night. If gaming is a common date night routine, then I think Diablo 3 starts to get the advantage. Because
so is that what the category is?
That's kind of where I'm leaning.
No, but listen, that's not... You can say, like, well, first date, this, blah, blah, blah. But the argument I just posed between the two, it all just comes out in the wash. Like, because you can say, like, well, you know, this, you know, if it's first date or early on, you're not going to have somebody bring over a computer, whatever, sure. But... Most of your date and date nights throughout your life are going to happen with a long-term relationship. So it's like you can't just say it's we got to take out, like, let's just take as a whole.
Yeah, it would have to be two, because again, your perspective is from someone who has a wife that plays games, or, you know, girlfriend that plays games. But I don't think that's very common. So we'd have.
But I've also played Diablo, like I play like Diablo like games, like those kind of experiences in the past, like and I wasn't like somebody I was like living with.
Yeah, but still, I
you can go to an internet cafe and play.
We'd have to split it up
on a date. Because what's wrong with that?
There's definitely way more.
Maybe more people should have done that.
Aaron, Aaron, where are you at? Sorry.
Give this a tie.
I was gonna say,
I'm leaning towards Ethan. Like, it's so hard and different just to pick one.
It's
all things else being equal, either game is just as accessible as the other. What is better for you to play with a significant other? Which one is the best experience?
For who? That should them be or it. You?
That's taste.
Both of you. Like, I. Yeah. The whole of it is taste. The whole awards thing is taste.
You've got to take it out of the personal relationship. Like I said, if this was a date night, a common thing, that's where Diablo's getting my vote. Like, and I would even say, I was like, keep coming back to New Super Mario Bros. U can actually be pretty frustrating to play together. Like, I'm okay with trading off and that sort of thing.
There is one thing for Mario Brothers we didn't mention was that you could play one person is playing like single player and the other person could have the little Wii pad.
Yeah.
And Cole's had success with that. Could play co-op and hit the things and stuff, but I still think that is not the same kind of experience. That's super asynchronous.
All right, we're going to come back to that.
Super asynchronous.
This is the first tie we've had.
Walking Dead.
Well, this is the first tie we've had. We'll see how we feel at the end of this. But I want to move on to an unrelated category, I swear, the Quickie Award. That comes after, though. This is for the best filler game of the year. These are, we talk about a lot. We got 15 minutes to kill, or we're trying to decide what game to play, and these are the games we keep finding ourselves gravitating to. Spelunky, Theater Rhythm, Final Fantasy, Super Crate Box, FTL, Mutant Muds, Titan Attacks, Fez, The Avengers Tables, and Pinball FX2.
That's specific.
Well, Pinball FX2 came out whenever.
It's a platform, though, you know?
Yeah. The Basement Collection, and Shoot Mini Robots. Anything jump out?
FTL.
FTL.
My argument against FTL, how long is a typical game session with FTL?
Well, for me, I can fit it in 15 minutes, no problem.
Doesn't it save?
It may, but I always play till I die. I've never beat the game, ever once. I've been to the last boss.
Personally, the Avengers tables for me this year, and
I fucking love it. I love Pinball FX2, the engine. And those Marvel tables were some of the best licensed things ever. I fucking love those things. And they were just like, you're just like making love to the comic books that they were made, you know, from.
Aaron, did you play Fez? Yeah, you played Fez. What were your, did you ever play it in short bursts?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Really?
You kind of get stuck in a path of, there's a puzzle after you beat the game, like just trying to solve puzzles, and it's kind of, you want time, you want like an hour just to get mad at Fez.
And I would, the way that map works, sometimes I get lost when I come back to it too, if I've taken a break. Yeah. So, those are my initial arguments. Titan Attacks,
I think Titan Attacks really has quite the leg to stand on.
Very Space Invaders.
Yeah. But
really cool stuff.
What was this out for?
The PC. It came out in February. Like, I was actually surprised it was a 2012.
It's got some upgrades and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you could play it for a long time, but you could.
What else? What's the other? Revenge of the Titans.
Revenge of the Titans, did.
It's Puppy Games.
Puppy Games. Okay. Yeah. I know that then.
Man, my toilet games. Super Crate Box and Mutant Muds.
Yeah.
I love just playing a level of Mutant Muds, putting down, come back, and
that was kind of my 3DS go to for a while there.
Well, and I Super Crate Box for me definitely, because I mean, just like a lot of these games were the intent is kind of sort of to die, you know, until you get better. I mean, you could play that for 30 seconds. You could play that for an hour. I mean, I think that game was really the most simplistic pick-up-and-go type game. You know, some of these had a little bit more meat to them. That one was just, and it was really great for what it did with how simple the package was. So that's why that would get my nod more so than anything else.
Well, why wasn't Super Hexagon on this list?
I didn't play it.
None of you guys
that's
played
specifically
it?
Specifically why.
Oh. I played it. Okay, it would make me very mad, but...
I'm okay with nominating it.
Oh, well.
I'm okay with that.
Well, I don't, if nobody feels that strongly, then I don't... It shouldn't go on there.
Votes actually feel strongly behind FTL, so I'm going to shut my mouth on the longevity side of it. But I will I will throw out Fez just from a... It's not... It's a... Man. It's a mentally exhausting game. Yeah. Especially at a certain point.
Like, I feel like the 15-minute game almost has to be somewhat relaxing in concept. You shouldn't feel bad at the end of it. It should kind of...
And for the sake...
Well, I don't... Not... Well, hold up, though. Hold
not
up.
Horrible. Like, your brain shouldn't hurt.
Hold up. I didn't... Like, The Binding of Isaac and Super Meat Boy. Some of my quickie games from the past left me just, like, wanting to shoot myself in the face.
But your brain didn't hurt, like, thinking. That's what I'm saying. Like the skill and dying and all that kind of stuff. Do that a lot. But, like, with Fez and some of those more... Like, because I've got a couple puzzle games that at the... Like, I because of how I play puzzle games, my brain gets into that mode and just have to get out of that mode. Whereas with Super Meat Boy, with Super Crate Box, those kind of games, you die and you're able to be like, okay, I'm good. I'm fine. I feel satisfied with my play session and I can move on. Those puzzle games don't leave me. So maybe I've played it for 15 minutes... But I'm still thinking about it for 45 minutes on. So that's what kind of differentiates those kind of games.
Maybe Fez's puzzles are just different, though, because like a puzzle game in itself is fine, because you'd play Tetris or Pushmo, which none of us play Crashmo, I don't think, unfortunately, in time for
not
this.
Yet.
But that was a very recent release. It got lost in the shuffle for us. But yeah, like a Pushmo is the perfect, like, that's, you should only play that game on the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a...
Agreed.
Spelunky was another big one for me for a few months there. I know Josh hates the game. Aaron, did you find yourself, was it a 15-minute game or was it a marathon game?
I probably wound up marathoning through a lot of it, but I could break those my thoughts about Spelunky into chunks, and I kept coming back to it. So it's, I wouldn't be mad if we dropped it, but it is a game I could just...
I'm at the same level as you, so I don't think we're going to win.
I was going to say,
to push it.
Yeah. Watching Josh play that, I felt him. I felt his emotions inside my own body, so I don't want that on this list.
Oh, okay. This is going to sound really crazy, and I still don't personally enjoy playing the game. However, I do recognize why so many people love it. And for the quickie category, it's probably perfect, because unless you are Jimmy Woods... You're not going to play this game more than 15 minutes in a single life, or single
especially
shot.
Especially after you open up the level select, because you're really gonna come back and practice a little bit before come back to your marathon. Okay,
isn't the game you want, though. You know that this isn't the game you want. This isn't the game we want on here. Let's just be honest. There's better games. Fucking devil's advocate. Who you got a really good point on that game.
I'm gonna throw video game lawyers.
Yeah,
I'm gonna throw out Basement Collection from the list. Just from a, is more. I had fun exploring, but I never went back to the game.
It's like a test. It was like all prototype shit.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad it exists, but it's like it belongs in a museum.
Shoot
as
many
Indy
robots,
would say.
Ethan.
I mean, I don't know many people that got into that. I mean, it definitely is really a good, quickie little type game, but it's almost, you almost have to play co-op. I mean, that's the best way to play the game is co-op, and if you're only playing 15 minutes of co-op, that's kind of shitty to your co-op partners. Yeah. So, I mean, specifically to
joint
play the game,
filler games.
Like, I mean, definitely a really great filler game, but I mean, to get the most out of it, you'd want to play co-op, and so I would almost be okay with kind of setting that one to the side, looking at it, being like, hey, you did well. Don't worry. It's not you. It's me. And going on from there. It's more deserving games.
All right. Theater Rhythm. Aaron, looking at you.
That's just going to be me, I guess.
Do you go back to that game?
I played it for a long time, and it's got the Spelunky issue, I guess, with me, where I just got a lot of time where I play games, and so... I would play that game for like an hour or two, just playing the same songs over and over to unlock new stuff.
Okay.
Try to imagine yourself taking quicker shits.
Don't push him off the pot. If he wants to take his time, let him take his time. Like my freaking wife. What are you doing in there? Don't worry about it.
I've got an internal clock. I get on that toilet. I know, oh, it's been too long.
Well, you shouldn't push yourself. A lot of doctors say you shouldn't push yourself.
You have an egg timer sitting on the back of the toilet?
That's so much pressure. I wouldn't be able to go. That's
an hourglass.
Oh, yeah. Did you...
I just keep flipping it.
Josh and Aaron, any opinions on Super Crate Box?
No.
No opinions or?
No opinion.
Okay.
I like the game. It's probably, it's got those moments where you can just keep going. You can get into a rhythm and keep playing it. And so I think it's a good nomination for this list. I'd keep it.
Yeah. I would take that over Spelunky just from, again, I love Spelunky, but the stress level versus, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish in that filler.
Yeah,
filler time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, okay, I get that now, Ethan. I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get it.
Yeah.
Stop. We gotta disagree more.
You changed my opinion.
These are the ones still available. The Avengers Tables, which I want to throw in as a finalist, but you
pinball, guys can... Pinball, traditionally, maybe the best fill, one of the best filler games.
I'm not going to argue with that one at
in
all.
The last, you know, 50 years, 60 right. years. Right. Okay. And those are some of the best tables I've ever
they
played.
They actually found an old pinball table in a sunken Chinese island fortress. The very first game of pinball, 2000 BC.
Was this like a
made it up.
Easter egg in Far Cry 3?
Yeah, sounds like that.
Made it up.
So that leaves FTL, Mutant Mud, Super Crate Box, and Theater Rhythm. I would choose Crate Box over Mutant Muds, for the record.
I would because I haven't played Mutant Muds.
All right.
And I feel really strongly about Crate Box.
Although, go play Mutant Muds.
FTL, I want to push the finalists. Just it got pretty much a consensus vote from our crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Super Crate Box, Theater Rhythm. You're making it sound more like a marathon game for Theater Rhythm.
Yeah. Between those two, Crate Box.
Awesome.
Easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now we're bros.
That's all it takes.
Our finalists.
Finish my rhyme.
The Avengers Tables, FTL, Super Crate Box. Nothing's jumping out to me.
You know what? Something really does jump out to me. Super Crate Box really does. I mean, it really, of all the games that I've played in the last year, you know, across all, that was the only game that really I could play on a consistent basis for no more than 15 to 20 minutes. And it was just perfectly made. It's simple. I definitely feel really strongly for that one for this category. Very strongly.
Josh, let me simplify this a little bit. If you have to choose between FTL and the pinball, where's your head?
Pinball.
At? Okay. So it's between pinball and crate box.
You had to ask for that.
I loved FTL.
But you love pinball.
Oh.
I have to.
Yeah, see,
I've been won over by pinball this year, and yeah. I mean, like these are probably too. My two. When I think about it, these are the two filler games. But pinball this year, I don't know. And
this is pinball.
I own
this
it.
Year.
I own it on four devices.
I like
pinball,
and I only ever play this in the quickie format. On four different devices.
I like pinball. Here's my only issue. Here's my only issue with pinball. It's pinball, and it was invented 60 years ago. You're not right. It's a great pinball, but Super Crate Box is 2012. It's new,
but these Avengers tables, and I.
You guys love the Avengers.
Wait. Yeah. It's the group of them, because even when I get kind of bored with one, I'll play a different one, and my energy will be renewed, and then I just keep switching. I'll keep coming back and beating his score and making him.
What is this, angry. Tommy?
But Aaron, weigh in here.
The man.
See, unfortunately, I haven't played those Avengers tables, and so I just have the idea of pinball to go on. So yeah. I'm super crate box.
Yeah. Yeah, we should just let pinball die. Yeah,
that's what we've come down to today. That's going to end up on Fox News. HorribleNight.com wants to kill pinball. Based entirely on this. I'm okay. I'm not knocking pinball. But if you have to make a choice, we've played pinball. It's great. Avengers, awesome. A bunch of different superheroes. Yeah. But Super Crate Box,
Our votes are not helping. I think we might come back to this one.
Another comeback?
Gosh. I think we might come back.
The later we get, the more we have to make valid points. I mean, the Chris, here's the funny thing. How come across the board, Chris Redfield's body was just no argument? No argument. But when it comes between pinballs,
because they would have had sex with any of those video game characters.
Well, yeah. That brings us to our...
I want to have sex with a crate. But I will fuck the Hulk.
The Hulk or the pinball version of Hulk? See?
Space Hulk. This brings us to our BFG award for the overachiever. Overachiever of the year.
Like this one. I love this one. I love this category a lot, actually. Yeah.
The nominees are Retro City Rampage, Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, Torchlight 2, Far Cry 3, Fez, Super Amazing Wagon Adventure, Binary Domain, Azure's Wrath, and Dishonored.
Man,
I don't.
We got to one by one these because this is a list, man. This is a real list.
I just looked at that. I was like,
let's get rid of a couple real quick. We have to.
Wait. Before we do that,
I don't know if I
qualify the award first.
This is the
that will make a big difference.
This isn't a reflection on the quality of the game. This is a game that went above and beyond in a certain direction that you didn't expect.
Okay,
and you even questioned, like, did they really need to do that, but in a positive way.
I'm just going to say this, based on that, I can eliminate Torchlight 2 because I think we all expected that to be a pretty good game.
I would agree.
They improved the formula.
Yeah.
They did a great game, but I expected it to be, it did not shock me that was a good game.
Yes. Thank you. Because I was like,
you're so proud of yourself. Look at you. You fucking.
I even did like a little thing with my hand.
I don't know what we can do. Yeah.
Just go down and just keep going.
Okay.
We'll do this.
Retro City Rampage. You're going to have a tough time talking me into dropping that because of the extent that he went into with the referential elements and the dedication to the craft. Like, that wins some points with me.
But all I'm going to say about that game, it's cool. There's a lot of fun little things in there, but as a game, I was looking forward to that. Because it's kind of had that hype package for a while now.
Damn it!
It didn't keep me though. I mean, it didn't keep me in the game, and the gameplay itself was not enough to keep the references. Okay. Were great.
Yeah, I was impressed by the references. Yeah, really impressed. I loved. I was smiling the whole time.
Yeah, I smiled.
But did it surprise us?
But we expected that. It was like the opposite of a surprise with the gameplay. It was just like, oh, it's this.
Yeah, yeah. Which it's not
fine.
A trailer,
it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
But that could have been one of those games that. Like, I looked at it and I thought, man, this could be, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
And it was just, okay,
Yeah.
It was okay.
All right.
So that one can't, for me, that's a no.
In that vein, Far Cry 3, from the aspect of, there are some people that thought it was going to be pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And did it really blow the roof off? Did it really hit that extra level of...
For me, it did.
I was gonna say, man. I want to say,
really surprised.
Really
surprised.
Did. It really.
Okay. All right.
It really did.
Coming from Far Cry 1 and Far Cry 2, the leap in quality and polish and just sheer amount of steadily like maintainable fun throughout the entire single player game for me. And the multiplayer, I haven't even touched, so I can't speak to that. But I'm just talking about the campaign stuff with most of these games, anyways. But Far Cry 3 was just like really surprising because. I finished it, and I don't finish a lot of games, so that was a big one for me.
Now I love Dishonored, and I love new franchises, and that it seems to be a success. But as far as just like, I never hit that like tilt level of excitement about what it's added. Like it's just fucking solid, and it does a really good job. And so as far as overachiever, I feel like it fulfilled on as good as it can get. Like it, but it didn't. It didn't have this like these like standout. I don't know. I don't feel that same level of.
I mean,
pure excitement.
Did people have expectations for that game, or was it just because it was a new franchise? It was that. That's what I'm kind of torn with this one.
Yeah, people just had questions about it.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good game, and I don't know. It was hard thinking about that one just because I like the idea of stealth, but I'm typically bad at it. But Dishonored is just another game like Mark of the Ninja that I feel gives you a lot of tools to be great at stealth, even if you are bad. And so I have a lot of fun doing the stealth there, but I could see maybe it's not, you know, BFG material, but I could let it resonate inside of me that it's did some things that I really liked and I wasn't expecting to enjoy so much.
I just, yeah, in comparison to some of these others, it just feels a little...
And let's get it, and not being BFG material actually means not, that's not bad at all, guys.
Right. No, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's don't
kinda,
you worry
that's
at
kinda,
all.
That's kind of where I was landing with it.
Yeah, like, it's like, yeah, it's good. It's a good either way.
More in line with my expectations, and I'm proud of it. That's kind of like...
Yeah, for me, this is one of the best games of the year, mm-hmm. and I wasn't expecting it to be. Watching the trailers and stuff, I was not in love with the art style. When I played the game, I thought it was some of the best art of the year. The gameplay, I thought it kind of looks like Bioshock or something. And then I completely did not expect the stealth to be as good as it was. And it was really good. That teleport ability, the blink ability, completely yes. changed that game. It sets it apart from any other game like that. And if you're going to have games in that genre, in a certain genre, that stealth action, whatever. And it surprised me that when the stealth stuff broke down, it was really fun and satisfying to get into melee combat. And the story and the world they created surprised me in how deep and rich it was and how much I wanted to be in it and how much more I want to see of it going forward, like in hopefully another game. And from what these guys made in the past, games like Arx Fatalis, which was like perfectly fine for a PC first-person RPG adventure action game or whatever, this has a completely different level of polish and like just AAA kind of, you know. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not tossing it.
This was to me was a big overachiever because I can't. I mean, did you guys really expect this game to be so amazing and why? And don't say Bethesda because they're just a publisher. This was not, I mean, I'm sure they helped out with when their help was needed, but that doesn't mean shit. They also did Rage. They, same thing with that. So like, don't, you know, I can't imagine anybody looking at this game and from the beginning beforehand and going, you know what? I saw the trailer for this. This is going to be some hot shit, and it's going to be on people's Game of the Year awards list.
I don't.
Hot beats?
I think this was a huge surprise.
Why don't we table this? We'll table this. We'll put this on there. We'll just set it over there. We'll look at it for a while. And we'll get back to it.
I feel strongly about that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. But
I don't disagree. I'm just looking at this list.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Because, I mean, Dragon's Dogma, just, I'm going to say we had very, very low expectations of that game.
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
And the action alone took it to another level. And I think that becomes a finalist. I'm comfortable throwing that in to start chipping
away. It started way lower than anything else, though. And, yeah. And I'm not sure if it went as high as something like a Dishonored. So, you know, I don't know what the gap was like that it covered. It was,
and then Sleeping Dogs, for a game that was dead in the fucking water. Granted, it's hard for us to talk about.
I just wish I knew more about this game.
Yeah, me too.
That's the only thing.
I wish you guys had played more of it.
I feel like an idiot.
Fez, just the extra layer to Fez is what, like, as far as, like, when I look at this category, as far as, like, that shit's almost unnecessary, but it's really fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
and granted, I didn't get into it, but the whole phenomenon around, like, the world basically solving this game was pretty damn cool.
Which was really cool, but let me say this. This game had to have something like that because of how long it was. If it wouldn't have had all that around it, I mean, it needed to have something really big.
If it didn't have all that around it, I'd
have
been like, what the fuck were you doing the entire time?
There was a lot of hype to this game. I think people expected a lot out of this one. I don't...
That's a good point.
I mean, if it didn't
do something... I think Phil Fish made people think there was a big reason to play this game.
Well, I was going
to
say, like... But it didn't come out...
But when we're comparing it to expectations, I think that's where you just leveled me.
Yeah, it's just...
Because it had been built up.
I was also not as enamored with this as I think some of you guys.
Well, no, because Phil Fish is a... Well... We don't like
it.
The collective we.
Speak for yourself.
Me, myself, and I.
I think he's a dick, but I like him just fine.
Yeah, I don't know. No, you don't. I don't like his face. You don't know. No, you don't.
No, I don't know. No, if he was my neighbor, I'd be forced to like him, but I'm...
Are you with me on Super Amazing Wagon Adventure? As far as no expectations to a ridiculous good time.
You know what, though? I've come to kind of expect these little games to be hilarious. And like, Dikembe Mutombo has four and a half weeks to save the world. Like,
but how many, like,
a million other of these, those
how
games?
How many Oregon Trail ripoffs have there been that I just thought this was just going to be another one?
No, it was. And it was a big surprise, but like we only played it that one time. I would never play it again.
I've played it three additional times.
Well,
just to try to see more shit.
That's okay. Maybe if I like, no, I would not ever play that again. But I get that it was a surprise. But it wasn't like you would. I cannot believe it would be on the list with like Dishonored.
Does anybody else have my back?
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, no, I've never even heard of that game.
Fez even.
Aaron.
No, Aaron's not even going to speak. Sounds super amazing. The title of the game. I mean, awesome. If it wasn't awesome,
no, it's awesome and hilarious. But like, I kind of expect it to be hilarious, and maybe it's a little more awesome than I thought. But yeah, just like Ethan said it best. Yeah. With a name like that, what else do you expect?
Yeah, Azure.
Really great game. It's an okay game.
Yeah, right.
Azure's Wrath.
Oh, play. Yeah, that, okay. Holy shit, where did that come from?
Going over the top a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, that one. Okay. Did you guys even watch people play it?
I haven't yet.
Holy shit.
I played it.
What do you think?
I didn't expect it to be that much fun. I mean, for most of it being like quick time events. But that story, I got really pulled into Asura's Wrath, and I played through that whole thing in like a week or something, and I was like, just damn.
That game's insane. But I didn't have expectations at all, because it wasn't even on my radar.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. So that's almost doesn't count for me.
I don't know.
I didn't have expectations.
I'll take it. I'm really looking forward to...
Came out of nowhere, so I guess that's nothing to a lot is a bunch.
Yeah.
Or not. Is that negative? Zero to...
Hey, zero plus 10 is you increased by 10.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So Josh, keeping in mind our conversations at this point, where's binary domain as far as expectations and overachievement goes?
It was a really big surprise. That like the original trailers and stuff it had, it had this dude pulling his face off, you know, and there's like a Terminator underneath and he gets shot up and like, you're like, what in the fuck is this all about? It was a big surprise. I'm going to say it definitely exceeded any expectations I had, although I didn't necessarily have any. But I don't know if like, you know, the reason I play a game like that is because I kind of know going in that it's going to be my kind of game. Like, I know, like, there's this level of, like, binary domain, and I said it before, Vanquish was in here too, and probably Dragon's Dogma. They're imperfect games that do some things really, really well and have a level of either self-awareness or lack thereof that make me appreciate certain things for, like, the humor or the over-the-topness of certain things, and like almost like there's some elements are super Japanesey, and then they put this Western shit in there that's just like, what in the fuck? It's almost like a weird juxtaposition that makes it like a really unique kind of thing. I'm gonna say, if you don't want to have it on there, I'm okay with that, because this game is like, it just fits a certain thing. It's not for everyone, probably. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I feel weird about it because I love it, but I don't know if you're going to like it, you know? So it's kind of weird for me to say, like, well, for me, because if you guys had played this too, we could have a conversation about it, but...
Just put your tip in, see how it feels, and then go from there.
We throw that out. That leaves us.
I did, and I went...
That leaves us with five. We throw that out. That leaves us with five. Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, Far Cry 3, Azure's Wrath, Dishonored. My gut goes Dragon's Dogma, Sleeping Dogs, Azure's Wrath. Anybody else have?
I'm actually okay with dropping Far Cry 3 off now that we've gone through the list, because it was going to be a AAA game. Mm-hmm. They were dumping a shit ton of money into it.
Yeah.
And that was going to be like a thing. Like,
so we've got four debuts here that are battling.
But man, Dishonored was just like...
And
this was a
new
IP. Like the developer was not necessarily a proven track record for that kind of quality.
I think it's between Azure's Wrath and Dishonored for our third position. Oh. Because I will stand by like people's opinions of Sleeping Dogs and the fact that that game shouldn't have even come out. Like that it basically.
Yeah, I'm okay with Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Do you not?
It's got a lot of motorcycle ramp, and you can jump off motorcycles onto other things.
Doesn't sound like you're
in a game that does that.
As excited in this category for Dragon's Dogma. Is that? No, I
only because you know what? I feel so strongly about Dishonored.
Okay.
Like to me, that's just that's the game this year that I just could not believe. We're like, what in the fuck? This game is unbelievably good.
And a new franchise coming out in a heavy, thick. I mean, I do have to, especially because it was almost riskier for a, because I mean, again, it's considered a triple A game.
That's because of the marketing put behind like that, it as it launched.
Because Dragon's Dogma,
out.
Those kind of games can fall back on the fact that, well, we weren't trying to do that much. I mean, it went out. I mean, it went out on a limb. And I mean, new IPs like that aren't,
we kind of have a debut category too. And I'm thinking Dishonored may kind of get its nod there. And I keep getting hung up on that AAA expectation.
Okay, but wait. If Dishonored had been made by a development studio that had, like...
If THQ had published it, I'd be 100% behind it.
God damn it. Just because Bethesda does a better job at stuff than THQ, it's still like, you know, you don't know. You're like, if this is like id or you know, Valve or whatever, like something epic, you would say like, you know what, they're probably going to make a pretty fucking good game.
If you tell me Capcom's making a Western RPG, I'm thinking that's going to be a fucking shit show.
Well, if you listen to, I fucking totally don't remember the guy's name,
right.
Who's lead on it, because I'm just bad with a lot of those Japanese developers' names. Like the way he was hyping it up, like a year ago or 2 years ago, whenever it was when they first showed like a dude climbing around on the back of a griffin, like at E3 or whatever,
that's awesome.
Or Tokyo Sounds Game awesome. Show, whenever that was.
Sounds good.
And you know, it was just like, and you hear the guy talking about the game, you go, I don't know, man, this looks kind of wonky. Like it looked wonky as hell. And you think like, I don't know about this. And then, but he was like hyping it up, and he believed the hype, and he's like, yeah, we can do this. And everybody in the industry was going, this isn't going to work. And I think it turned out to be like way more fun than anybody thought. And for some people, it's like the favorite thing they played all year long. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why that would be the case, because it was super, super fun. So I don't know. I feel like Dragon's Dogma could be, it could be that game too. Again, I just felt like it was just so strong about this.
Go with your first instinct. Go with your heart. You're at the beach. Dishonored. Dragon's Dogma.
Well, somebody make a case for Azure's Wrath, you know?
I got nothing.
Just that game shouldn't be any fun, and that's all I hear about it, is that people have a blast with it. So,
Yeah, Aaron, word of mouth that, oh, you're just pressing buttons and watching stuff play out. I mean, there are gameplay sections in it, but it's really the story. It's probably the story more than anything that drives you through Asura's Wrath, and it makes that kind of gameplay work where you kind of just want to watch the tale they're telling. Kind of like The Walking Dead. You want to see how stuff happens, but you don't really have the choice that Walking Dead provides. But I expected it to be mediocre.
I just don't know enough about it.
I don't feel comfortable picking it as the winner, but no. I'm totally cool with it being in the top three.
And so I feel like it's between Dragon's Dogma and Dishonored, and I look at Capcom's track record, and that thing is the biggest surprise in the world to me. And Dishonored, like I said, I had certain expectations.
You got my vote. You already got my vote. So,
what was your vote?
Dishonored.
Where are you at, Ethan?
Just the only reason that I'm pushing for Dishonored at this point, and this is coming from someone that didn't play the game, is because that it has become an iconic game. It's one thing to be a surprise. It's another thing to become an iconic game in the sea of releases that came out this year. I mean, and this is a game that I mean, I really have to go for it. I mean, there's everyone's talking about it. There's no, I mean, there are people that did not love Dragon's Dogma. I very few people I've heard talk about Dishonored say they don't like it, and it just it came out of nowhere, and for it to be to that level in as a AAA title, I think it has to get the nod.
Aaron, where are you between Dishonored and Dragon's Dogma?
I feel like I've been ruined slightly by the knowledge that we do have that best debut category coming out, and yeah, but I don't remember what the other games are there. But I'm kind of feeling Dishonored.
Yeah. All right, I'm outnumbered, and I don't feel strong.
What were the votes like?
Huh? The votes were not between these.
Oh. Okay. Never mind.
So yeah, we'll go with
There were a lot of sleeping dogs and Torchlight, but we kind of trumped that one. So yeah.
Real quick.
All right, I will concede. Mr. Dave will have his day another day.
Oh, we love Mr. Dave.
All right.
No one loves him more than I do. I live with the guy.
You do.
Sleepy Dogs. Sleepy Dogs gets my vote for just the fact that it was canceled and turned out as well as it did. It gets my overachiever nod.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I think Dishonored still probably.
Yeah. For me. Yeah.
God damn it.
Them all to win.
God damn it.
I just don't know enough about Sleeping Dogs to say. I mean, I haven't played Dishonored, but I've watched a shit ton of videos, and I feel like I've done the research on that one, and it did come out of nowhere.
I mean, it was more. I was struck more with relief that Bethesda finally did it after, like, I don't know. I didn't know with after Brink and after Rage. Like, I didn't know. They're pushing another game.
All different developers, though. That's the thing. It's not about...
This is about my expectations. And
I know I'm seeing your expectations came from the wrong place.
That's not the point. So
it's Dishonored, isn't it?
It's my point.
Sleeping Dogs shouldn't exist. The game for... who the fuck, one, makes a true crime sequel right now? And two, how the hell... do we even give a shit about another open world crime game after it's basically been maxed out?
I'll say this. If they had named the game True Crime Sleeping Dogs, this conversation would already be over. We would all have probably said, that True Crime game, holy shit, I cannot believe how good it was. Mm. So I would not. So knowing that, I'm not going to cry if Sleeping Dogs wins. I just, my personal vote goes with the Dishonored. I'm not going to fight Sleeping Dogs. So that's kind of a split vote, I guess, for me, because both of them are deserving.
Yeah, I still stick with Dishonored on that one.
Aaron, you're the Sleeping Dogs fan. Do you feel 100% in Sleeping Dogs? If you're swaying, then I kind of lose some of the weight to my
husband. I guess at first I was okay, like Sleeping Dogs getting a mention, that's fine. But now that you keep saying more and more about it, it is a game that is like regarded highly by me for 2012. I'm feeling Sleeping Dogs now. I think that game should have been dead. They were talking about it being a true crime, and it turned out to be really well. There's a lot to it. It's a lot of fun. Sleeping Dogs, I think, is maybe more of an overachiever than Dishonored for me.
I again, if I knew more about the game, I'm excited to play it. But I mean, to me, I'm just because of the iconic factor I'm still shocked by that. Not only is it a game that people are recognizing, it's a new character that people are recognizing, and all of the characters you've got. Connor from Assassin's Creed 3, you've got your Claptrap, you've got all these big iconic characters that people can recognize, you know.
Again, I'm that's not an overachiever thing for me.
That's absolutely an overachiever. You jump in it deep. They jumped in deep on that. I mean, I'm not saying this just because I feel that much strongly for either one of them, but I'm just saying this is a game for not playing the game and for watching the game as much as I did and kind of being like, wow, that's it's a really cool character, really good story, really good approach to the game. And people were still talking about it. And a lot of people have said, again, in the reviews that I read of the game, what? Where? You know, we didn't expect this. Whereas with Sleeping Dogs, reviews were good game, but people are, I mean, people are still talking about that game. That's the only reason why I think, to me, it seems like it leapt out there.
Well, here's the thing, and I think maybe I can put into some words what you're feeling right now, which is Sleeping Dogs went from expectations being like absolutely nothing to like, damn, that's a good game. Like, it's actually a really good game. And Dishonored went from like, well, it's not going to be total shit. It's not going to be total shit because it's like, you know, Bethesda's not going to publish that maybe. Although that's not entirely true because Brink was total shit. But you think like, you know, Dishonored, there's some people that were kind of looking forward to that game. Sure. But it went like, woof, contender for game of the year. One of the, maybe the best stealth game, like, especially first person, like ever. And, it's like, here's a game that I think like rivals Thief and the stealth genre. And it's just, it is like, it is a great accomplishment. I feel like, I think Dishonored is amazing on so many levels. And if you think Sleeping Dogs, the leap from where it was sitting, which was at the very bottom, to where it achieved, is greater than the gap between where Dishonored was expected to where it went, then if you think that is better, then it's Sleeping Dogs. That's it.
I mean, it's almost like, is it more,
I don't know where Sleeping Dogs is up here, though. I know it's up. I just don't know where it's up, and that's up to you guys to talk about.
And that's what, it's like, is it easier to go from shit, no expectations at all, to, oh, wow, that you surprised me. You know, it's kind of like having that lazy friend that comes and helps you move. Like, thanks, you know, but we didn't expect
even
much.
If,
yeah.
All right, I'm not comfortable giving it, so we're coming back. We got to move on, though.
Okay.
All right.
Five more awards to go.
This is our comeback award for a franchise that was down or dormant and had a big splash this year. The nominees are Torchlight, Diablo, SSX, PlanetSide, Call of Duty, Far Cry, Guild Wars, Xenosaga, Tribes, and XCOM. I love SSX. It can hold its weight.
I think Torchlight 2 was like super solid, but it's what I expected.
Yeah.
It was not a comeback.
Like, I don't think it was like it was that big of a leap from the last game.
No.
So I don't think that's, I mean, first game was amazing from them, and it was like, you expect, well, oh, they're going to add co-op. Cool. And that's what they did. And there were all these little things that were really well done. But it was just a kind of a evolutionary step.
I ended up being much cooler on Black Ops than I anticipated.
Yeah, I was a little more hyped than now that I've played a bunch of it.
I don't have anything.
So it's fine.
Totally fine. Negative to say against it, but it didn't leap either way.
Yeah. It may have been a comeback in terms of how we interpreted it before it came out, but I don't think it's a comeback in general because that game franchise is doing perfectly fine. They're doing okay. They're doing fine for themselves.
Yeah, they don't need this award.
They don't need this at all.
I'm sure they'll be upset about it.
Yeah,
but and they might.
What about Diablo? About is that a comeback from
That's funny. Up until Diablo 3 came out, the best action RPG on the market was still probably Diablo 2.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
No. And talking and depending on who you're talking to with that game, some people saw it as a drop in quality. Some people did. I thought it was a great game, but
yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a ton of fun with it. I played it a lot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, whoa, like, oh my god, Diablo's take to the next level.
We were really excited the first couple weeks, and then we were like, okay, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And although I love this franchise, Guild Wars 1 wasn't really on a down note either. And I'd say,
That was a big surprise.
Like, Guild Wars 2, it's fucking solid, but it wasn't down and out.
Yeah.
I'm just going through here.
Now, nobody stop fighting just because you're tired.
No, we'll say we've got five left. Tribes. Josh, talk me through Tribes. Is that a comeback?
Yeah, sort of, because the last one I think there were two Tribes in there that sucked. I know there was one for sure. I think there was, and there might have been one I didn't play, but
Tribes 1 was just like, that was something else. That was unbelievable. Tribes 2 was, I really enjoyed, but a lot of people were not real hot on Tribes 2. It did some just weird different shit. But, you know, so it was like, meh. And then, what was Tribes, this one's called Ascend, right? And there was Tribes Tribes Vengeance, I think, was the third game. I thought there was like another something in between there, but maybe not. But Tribes Ascend is like, it's good. It is, once again, it is incredibly fun to jetpack around and shoot people with a spin fuser. How much impact does it have? Like, I don't know a lot of people playing it, so it's like,
That's a question mark.
You know, that's also kind of like a, if no one gives a shit about it, it's like the tree fell in the woods, no one's there to hear it, then that tree is going to die alone and sad.
In that regard.
Yeah. That's the best way to paint that picture.
In that regard, how's Planet Side 2 doing?
Oh,
outside, I mean, I know, man, you guys love it, but like,
you know what though? I thought Planet Side 1 was an amazing achievement.
I was going to say, yeah.
But
Planet Side 2 for me is, again, that is one of the best games I played all year long.
Comeback,
and considering that, I don't know what you would call a comeback. I almost think you have to fail to have the comeback.
But it kind of did the way that, like, it never.
It
never achieved what they wanted the first one to
achieve. Well, they had some like shitty expansions. The first one was like, it was fun and it was cool, and if they just stayed what it was, it would have been great. And then they were like, now go fight in some caves. And everyone was like, what? That sucks. And then like, now that gigantic robots, call them BFRs. Big fucking robots, haha, get it, haha.
Oh, sucked. You get it.
It was so dumb. So dumb.
Come back to it. Xenosaga, was that down and out, or was it just dormant?
I think that was maybe more like kind of dormant. I'm sure the Xenosaga fans were like, loving all the entries in the series, probably, but that Chronicles, you know, like Xenoblade Chronicles is, like, that is really good.
The one I'm comfortable throwing really in the finals is Far Cry, just because the consensus around, like, Far Cry 2 was kind of a love it or hate it game.
Yep.
But everybody, like, just the consensus that they figured it out.
Like, Far Cry 1 was it was really cool, but there were some parts of it that were just junk. And then two, and so it's like, but the promise, like, man, just wait till the second one comes out. It's going to be great. And then it changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
And when it changed hands, it changed directions, and a lot of people were disappointed. And I was not super hot on it myself. And then it was like, these guys just totally redeemed it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like, it's all the good stuff about Far Cry 1 done better.
Yeah.
And all these other, the good ideas from 2 added in there, man, that's a total package.
Yep.
It's Lex Luger of 2012 video games.
How are we feeling about XCOM on the comeback? Okay, this is interesting. Like, it's been dormant. Actually, never mind. Yeah, it's a fucking comeback just because it's
absolutely
been dormant. Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah.
It's Rocky coming out of retirement.
Not only that, it's a genre that is not that popular of a genre that jumped. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
And there were some, pretty good. There were like, what, 4 games in the series, and most people loved the first one, and maybe the underwater one.
And Terror from the Deep was.
But
all right, so
Armageddon.
That's Planet Side, Xenosaga, and Tribes battling for the final spot, and I'm going with Planet Side based on excitement level and that my perception of what happened to the first Planet Side. Like, I never expected that franchise.
I can't believe it got a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe that Sony decided to put the money up for that, and that it's free to play, and like all that. Like, everything about Planet Side 2 to me has been done right.
Yep.
And that, that's like, yeah.
I would agree with that.
So,
I like it.
Aaron, you got anything to say for Xenosaga?
I wish I had played more of the original Xenosaga, so I don't really know. But, I mean, Chronicles is a really good, robust game, and it came out at a time, you know, everyone wanted more games. The Wii needed something before it kind of died to the Wii U. But I don't know if I have a good perspective on the other two. And, I mean, I'm a person who knows nothing about Planet Side. And
there's guns and trucks.
And once Ethan and Josh got on about trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, it sounds like Tribes is out, and
Yeah, and it's really good. It's just, you know.
Finalists. It's
probably a fourth place for me. That kind
Far Cry, XCOM, PlanetSide. I would say Far Cry, and that it's always been kind of on the outside looking in. I feel like Far Cry 3 just elevated it to just elite status.
The only reason that I'm not, I would not fight Far Cry 3, don't get me wrong, why I have strong feelings about XCOM is not only is it did, I mean, it did exactly what it needed to do without totally saying fuck you to the old school fans. Mm. It reinvigorated a genre that,
and it did it on multi-platforms.
Exactly. And for console players to be playing a turn-based strategy game and liking it, okay, because
and getting just as good of an experience as the PC. Almost it might control better with the game.
Actually, it does control better.
Like,
with the game
pad. That's the
it literally does. Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, if you look at just the game did great comeback. But it also, you know, there's going to be more games like that made, which is awesome because that is an awesome genre.
Yeah, this is
did a lot.
It's XCOM for me too.
Okay, I can't really. Are you with it, Aaron?
I'm with XCOM. Right. I haven't played enough to have my world end or be saved, but
we picked a winner.
Yeah, I was gonna say. But the other ones were just too winner. Tough. Those
all right,
tough ones.
Okay, that's we've gotten through 10. So what I want to do is go back and I want to pick winners from the three that we've been struggling with, and then take a break.
Okay,
is that
okay?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, our date night. This is our debate between Diablo 3 and the new Super Mario Brothers.
Pinball. Can we throw that in there? Either one could win. I'm not going to argue it. I think Diablo 3 as if I could. I thought about it throughout. If I had the game that I would want to play on a date night, it'd be Diablo 3. So I am more than okay with going with that.
If you could give your fire flower to your wife, like, would you guys be like,
what does that mean? Like, my,
I don't know where you're going. Where are you going with this?
I call it Captain.
I almost said mushroom, and I thought I shouldn't say that because it's gonna, now I'm gonna sound like I'm being an ass.
No, we'll go. Yeah, let's do that.
I'm just saying, it's the cooperative aspects of Diablo for me that make it perfect for date night because you can share. There's a lot of sharing going on in Diablo. Oh, I found something for you. You're like constantly giving little gifts
jewels
back and forth. And there's
phallic objects.
You have opportunities to share. Be patient. Listen. Like, is this better than that thing? Which of these two short swords would you choose? Like, I think that one looks better. Like, think about all the shit that we do, like, that Diablo allows us to, in an environment we're very comfortable with, look like great guys.
Does he know that we're all in on this?
Yeah. Were we arguing?
No, I don't think we are. I think we're good.
No.
Okay.
I honestly, when Ethan referred to his dick as a fire flower,
I was done. I was
disconnected from the conversation.
No, we're good. We'll just, yeah, let's do that.
All right. And the Quickie Award, best filler. Avengers, Pinball FX2 versus Super Crate Box. It's the argument of, okay, I experienced this. I experienced dismissing pinball from the time that, wow, Josh has Pinball FX2 installed. He thinks pinball is cool. And just watching him play it and then getting back into that high score mode and how isolated every game experience was. It's not tied to my previous one. I'm just like, I'm in and out, and
going right back to that fire. That's
how I call
it
the quickie.
Yeah,
and it just that's what I was looking for out of. It was a much more concise play session versus Super Crate Box. If you get on a marathon, it can extend a little bit. And I played much more Avengers tables than I did Super Crate Box, and I played both. That's my hope in the
Well, yeah, he was the tiebreaker, so that does it.
Yeah.
I like Super Crate Box. I still stick with the fact that pinball's been out for a really long time, but you guys love pinball, and I like Super Crate Box, so we can go with pinball.
Did you play it at our Horrible Night Out?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you were gone already?
Mm-hmm. No, I was in. That's when we went to get apartments.
Mm. All right. Back to the BFG. Overachiever. Dishonor to Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah. I think I am going to be the first to concede on this one.
I will support Dishonored in so many things.
I mean, because, and I don't know what it was, we were talking about this before. Did we already have this conversation with a different award between these two? Or was this the one?
This was the one.
Yeah.
This was really long.
Yeah, okay. Really long conversation.
the idea of like going from down here to like here or from here to here. Like,
yeah.
That like going from nothing to something, that's like the Rudy story. And going from like pretty good to like winning Rudy. Championship, it's like Rudy. The Aaron Rodgers story. Rudy. So like Rudy. I choose Rudy.
Rudy.
Yes. But Rudy wasn't really that good and that story was made up. I do want to point that out.
Notre Dame football sucks.
That was a completely made up, over exaggerated, not to ruin anybody's dream out there.
All right. Before we're going to take a 10-minute break here, but first I'm going to recap what we've done so far. Best Brosif kicked us off. Garrus from Mass Effect 3 is our best Brosif. Best Guns is the recursive bow from Far Cry 3. Best Hype Package, Borderlands 2. Best Trucks. You got to drop it an octave.
Drop.
Halo 4. Best Digital Butt, Mr. Chris Redfield. Yeah. Resident Evil 6.
Ow! We were, you know, can we just go back and just say, why were we so, we were all on that page. There is no argument there.
It was the clearest, it was like
we
the are, clearest
because we all love Resident Evil and Chris Redfield, they've sexualized him and it's gross, but it's hot.
Lunges for days.
And dick for weeks. Wait, that's the other way around.
The more of these award.
That's a different.
Week for day.
That's Ice Cube.
More of these award to Dragon's Dogma. Date Night Award. Diablo 3, Quickie Award, the Avengers Tables for Pinballic Fest 2.
Yeah! Oh, excuse me.
And the BFG Award, Sleeping Dogs. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and we will be back with another batch of our 2012 Grimmies.